Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, June 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Chick-fil-A employee was shot by a food delivery driver in Philadelphia's Crescentville section Monday night, according to police. It happened just after 8 p.m. on the 800 block of Adams Street. According to Chief Inspector Scott Small, the shooting was apparently over a missing milkshake. The driver of the delivery vehicle got into an argument because he believed he was supposed to receive more food for the delivery, and that turned into an argument, Small said.
So that's something you pull a gun over?
Pull a gun. Shot him.
Yeah.
Authorities said employees...
How good was the milkshake?
I mean, it's
Chick-fil-A. So, pretty good?
Yeah, yeah. Good. They're bringing back this peach milkshake that I find is pretty
amazing.
Really? So, yeah.
Well, but he was a delivery driver.
So, I know, it's crazy. It's insane, yes.
It wasn't even... But I mean, you're saying it wasn't even his...
Yeah, it was a customer, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
There's 40 levels of insanity to this story.
But I guess, and maybe this is not a justification, but maybe this was the trigger for this guy, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
But as he being the delivery person, he's the person that's going to be facing the customer and gets tips and blah, blah, blah. And maybe he's just got a crazy...
He cares so much about the integrity of the order, he's willing to shoot someone.
No, but maybe he's got a crazy temper.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to deal with the fact that he didn't get the full order because he's going to face it because he's the guy that takes the delivery to the person.
I don't think the people ever got their order.
No. Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Authorities said employees agreed to make the missing milkshake, but a 17-year-old worker was shot in the leg point during the altercation. The victim was transported to Einstein Medical Center and placed in stable condition. Small said that the worker was shot outside of the Chick-fil-A, which only takes online orders. The delivery driver was able to get away. Not long after, police say they recovered the suspect's white Mercedes in an alley in Juniata, 2 miles from the shooting scene. Anyone with information about the driver's whereabouts is asked to call police at 215-686-TIPS. Radnor Township passed a controversial ordinance on Monday evening to protect abortion if the Supreme Court does overturn Roe versus Wade later this year. In a 4-3 vote, the commissioners ruled that Radnor Township is declining participation in any abortion ban and keeping reproductive rights intact as the law currently stands. The ordinance says that no police officer or official can conduct any investigation, make any arrests, file any criminal charges, or work with any other agency to prosecute an individual who facilitates, provides, or receives abortion services during the first 6 months of pregnancy. Those against the ordinance argue it sets a dangerous precedent if police are stripped of their abilities to uphold the oath. Supporters of the ordinance say they simply don't want their neighbors arrested for participating in something that has been protected by the Constitution for almost 50 years. The ordinance will go into effect in 31 days, but is only relevant should Roe versus Wade be overturned.
Did they mention where they stand on shooting someone over a milkshake?
They didn't say that.
At least
not last night.
Yeah.
Major flooding swept away at least one bridge, washed away roads, and set off mudslides in Yellowstone National Park on Monday, prompting officials to close the entrances to the popular tourist attraction and evacuate visitors.
This is insane. Did you see the footage, Preston, of Yellowstone?
Yeah, the house being taken away.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
An entire house, floating away.
Floating down the river.
Yeah. The flooding hit after recent unprecedented rains, park officials said on Facebook. Officials evacuated the northern section of the park where there are multiple roads and bridge failures, mudslides, and other issues. Visitors are also being evacuated from the park's southern loop because of high flood levels.
Yeah, they've released this footage of this the stretches of road that are just completely washed out, just deteriorated, falling apart.
They actually, in the first time ever in the park's history, asked the animals to leave for a while.
Please leave.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind. Bears, grizzlies, all of you. All the wolves. This is apparently the worst. These are record floods that are happening.
Nothing even close to this for over 3 decades. I'll tell you what, though, as we're watching this footage of the house, it still looks gorgeous. The park looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I have friends leaving on Friday.
Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah, Kath. And looking at, these aren't just a couple of roads. They're going to...
It's everything.
And they're saying, like, some of the roads, are going to be closed indefinitely at this point.
I wonder what it's like if you're in there already. Like, what are they doing with employees who are already inside
the
park?
They're evacuating them.
And how do you find people who you're dealing with people that were remotely in there, right?
They're evacuating employees as well as visitors?
Oh, I don't know if employees. Nick,
yeah, like park employees or, you know, if you work at any of the concessions or whatever, like, I wonder if you are able to stay because people are starting to, this is, you know, it's almost summer season. This is the high season for Yellowstone.
Right.
The community of Gardner, Montana, just north of the park, was isolated because the roads going in and out of the town were impassable. Officials said the power is out in some areas of the park as well. Officials won't be able to say when the park might reopen until the floodwaters subside and they can assess the damage. The park was experiencing record flooding, officials said. Montana has been dealing with flooding, while elsewhere in the West, wildfires burn in hot, dry, and windy weather. In sports this morning... The Phillies beat...
Oh, hang on.
Sorry. Yeah, what happened? I don't know. It was like a big delay.
It sounded different. It was a jazz riff. Casey and I said, this is our tribute to John Coltrane this month.
I got nervous. The Phillies beat the Miami Marlins with a walk-off win with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning last night at the ballpark.
They did it!
Rhys Hoskins hit a game-ending RBI double in the ninth to lead the Phillies to a 3-2 win.
That was one out to left center field. That's going to win the ball game. Veerling's going to cruise on home. RBI single for Rhys Hoskins. The Phillies win it 3-2 here in the bottom of the ninth inning. What a celebration out at second base.
One guy is really enthusiastic. That's Joe Girard.
The Phillies are now a game over 500 after winning 10 out of the last 11 games. The series continues tonight. Zach Eflin will get the start. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:05.
They are hot and cold, man. I mean, it's a one way or the other.
Right now it's hot.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
What a turnaround, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Other than the 13-1 loss the other day.
Yeah. But that happens,
man. Yeah, come on.
They really wanted to end the winning streak that day. Yeah. In the NBA Finals, the Golden State Warriors are one win away from another title. Andrew Wiggins had 26 points and 13 rebounds. Klay Thompson added 21 points, and the Warriors beat the Boston Celtics 104-94 for a 3-2 NBA Finals lead. Game 6 is on Thursday night back in Boston. Tip-off is scheduled for 9 o'clock. And the Stanley Cup Finals begin tomorrow night. The two-time defending champs, the Lightning, will take on the winners of the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche. Game 1 is in Denver, and the puck will drop at 8 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Hi, thanks a bunch, Kathy. Welcome to Tuesday morning. Got a few things set up. Tattoo Tuesday is something we do on the Tuesdays. And so we're going to give away a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. Get started on it. Text word tattoo to 39333 and then step back and just wait and see if you win. Because we are going to give that away by the end of the program. And we want you to get that. So keep thinking of your tattoo design, something you might have in mind. You can check out their artwork, by the way, at floatingworldtattoos.com or on Instagram. They're just at Floating World Tattoos. And, of course, you can swing by 1729 South Street and see them in person as well. As far as guests go on the program today, we made an announcement actually yesterday about our guest is going to be on the Always Sunny podcast is coming to the Met September 18th. And tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. There's a presale on Thursday. You can go to WMMR.com. For the details, we've given away some tickets this week. We have another chance for you to win on the website, but we will have Glenn Howerton on the program. Of course, he plays Dennis on the show. He is the best. We will chat with him around 9 o'clock from California today.
I kid you not, there's at least a half hour to an hour's every week in which I'm watching bloopers and outtakes from It's Always Sunny.
It's
my constant ray of sunshine.
Yep. So we'll check in with Glenn, see how he feels about coming back to Philly and doing the podcast in front of a live audience at the Met. Should be pretty damn cool. So we'll talk to him later. In the meantime, we got business as usual. Don't forget, tomorrow night is our first sorority party we've had in years.
Yes.
And
it's weird to say that.
Our activity is square dancing, and we will do some invites. We have just a handful left for to give away today and then tomorrow. And the event is at Parks Casino tomorrow night, which is really cool. So we're looking forward to it. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second. I've got entertainment stories to share with you. Something very interesting about the dress that Kim Kardashian wore to the Met Gala. Follow up on that and a few other things to share with you as well. Stay put. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's give away a $150 Fogo to Show gift card via the stupid question. The question I have for you this morning is, Mount Sunflower is what U.S. state's highest point?
Mount Sunflower.
Mm-hmm. 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. Mount Sunflower is what U.S. state's highest point? Let's see if you know it. We're going to go through some birthdays while we are waiting. Nick, can you pull that last
yes,
page
sir.
Back up? Faison Love's birthday today.
Oh, on, I love Faison Love.
The 14th of June. Yeah, he turns 54 years old. Movies like Elf and The Replacements. He was in Friday.
Yeah.
He's a great guest. We love having him on.
A lot of fun.
Yep, so happy 54th
to him. Big Worm, right? Or Big Perm and Big Worm.
Big Worm on Friday.
Yeah.
Movie Friday, yeah. And
which is still a great movie.
And
a lot
he's
of fun.
The manager in Elf.
Elf,
The store, the department store. So.
Santa's coming tomorrow.
Yeah. So who else we have here? Oh, Marla Gibbs, the Jeffersons, Florence. She is 91 years old today.
Wow. 227 as well, right?
Yeah. Yes. And was it in Breaking Bad or El Camino that she had
El
a small
Camino.
Role
El Camino. Yeah, she was...
like a customer at the vacuum cleaner store or something, right?
Yeah. They do not make theme songs like this anymore, man.
No, they do not.
No, theme songs now are about a quarter second.
Yeah.
So because they've trimmed away so much of the actual show itself because of commercials, so they don't have these long, elaborate theme songs.
When they did the live version of this show, it was...
Jennifer
Hudson did the theme song. Yeah. She was awesome. I have some information coming up about her in the entertainment news.
And you know what, Steve? Now that like so many things are streaming and it doesn't really matter about commercial time and stuff like that, they should. Yeah,
so like at the beginning, Peacemaker has a great opening. Everyone watched that. And Strange New Worlds, the new Star Trek show, which is phenomenal. They do a big opening with the, you know, the music and graphics, the whole thing. Very
Stranger
cool.
Things does too.
Yes.
It's not a jingle. Doesn't like lyrics.
Right.
Like we need songs.
Yeah. Right.
You know, something kind of cool. Yeah.
It tells you the whole story.
Would be really cool. Yes.
Yeah.
Like the Beverly Hillbillies or something like that.
Tells
you the whole story.
Gives you the whole preamble.
About what's going on and why we're watching this show.
Come and listen to a story about some men in space.
Would that be?
Listen to a story about some men in space.
You could see it on their face.
Yeah. And then one day he was shooting at
stars, and up from the Klingons came a bubble in blue.
All right.
Dilithium, cool. That is.
Yeah.
Powers the ship.
All right. I want to know what shows right now have good theme songs.
Peacemaker. Oh,
wow. Like actual songs. WandaVision had one, sort of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did. There's change with every episode.
Yeah.
But they took, in fact, I saw a little behind the scenes dive, a little mini documentary into the people that wrote those theme songs, and they did them in honor of theme songs that have come and gone throughout the decade, so they definitely put some work into those.
Better Call Saul has one.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Scrubs had one.
Not a song, but a theme, like Hill Street Blues.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyhow, Marla Gibbs, 91 years old today. It's Boy George's birthday as well. He is turning 61 years old.
Just watched a documentary with him, and it was really good.
Yeah.
His life is really pretty interesting. And also, I love Culture Club.
Yeah. I do, too.
Yeah.
They're a great band, great singer. He's had an interesting life, and especially for that time and people who were kind of gender bending and
so on.
It was a little bit like, whoa, we're not used to seeing.
They call him Boy George.
Right, yeah. He was a bit of a target, but still managed to have tremendous success. So respect definitely going out to him. He's 61 years old today. Yasmine Bleeth.
There's a story.
Yeah, and Nash Bridges, she had a fall from grace.
One of the most beautiful women around.
Yeah.
She came out of the soap opera world. She's in basketball as well as one of the love interests.
Yeah.
But, I think, Preston, it was cocaine that sort of toppled her.
Yep. So she turns 54 today. Steffi Graf, the tennis star we were just talking about. I think it was Andre Agassi's birthday a couple of weeks ago. They're married.
He left Brooke Shields and then got with Steffi Graf.
Yep. So she is 53 today. Eric Heiden, remember him?
Yes, I do.
The Olympic gold medal winning speed skater. I remember he won, like, he took, like, every award back in the day. He's 64 years old today. Diablo Cody will always go down as one of our missteps as far as an interview goes, because we mainly focused on her stripping career.
Right,
she turned out to be a great screenwriter. It was around the time of Juno that we had her, and it was before the movie really had exploded.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
It was, yeah.
She also created United States of Tara.
You know a movie she wrote the script for that I find pretty good is Jennifer's Body. Megan Fox.
She wrote that, right?
Yeah, it's sort of a zombie vampire-ish kind of high school comedy drama.
Is this music from Juno, I guess?
This is a song that they sing at the end.
Okay.
If you remember. Oh, my God, this is such a cute movie,
I never
man.
Saw it, yeah.
You never saw Juno?
No.
Oh, it was good. Okay. Oh, you should watch it.
You should go back and watch it.
Also, I was just having a conversation with a couple of people about United States of Tara and how, like, just bizarre scenes in that show was.
Really?
We should watch The Boys.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch United States of Terror?
No.
I heard it was a good show.
It was good, but it was like some of the stuff. Like at one point, who was Toni Collette?
Yeah.
Right? She was she has multiple personalities, and she at one point she wakes up in the middle of the night and she's squatting over her parents peeing on them.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I can up that.
Diablo Cody's 44. Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars and the Scream franchise is 33. Then the last birthday, a great actor by the name of Will Patton.
Yes.
Is 68. He's the assistant coach in Remember the Titans. He's the main nemesis in The Postman. He's in Armageddon. Kathy, he's in Yellowstone as well. He plays a character named Garrett Randall.
Oh,
I don't know.
Who's that? Let me.
But, I know you watched that.
Yes.
But
he has
way
a
out.
House that floats down the river.
That is timely.
He's great, and he is my favorite. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. He is my favorite narrator.
He's great.
My favorite audiobook narrator. He does a great job. So
okay, he plays. If you haven't seen it, I'll give away who he is. But
right.
Yes,
he plays a bear.
He's 68 today. He plays a bear. All right, let's see if we can.
Good acting.
Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And I need to know, Mount Sunflower is the U.S. as what U.S. state's highest point? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And we're going to go to Brian. Hey there, Brian.
Good morning. Is Preston there?
He is. May I help you?
Oh, hi, Preston. This is Brian. The answer with the stupid question?
Hey, Brian.
All right.
What's that answer to the stupid question?
Well, we're not in Kansas anymore, but Kansas.
Ah. Yay! Well done, sir. Hang on, Brian.
I still love the song.
I'm going to set you up with a $150 Fogo to Show gift card. Fogo is culinary experience, of course, and the best place to discover new favorites like... their new bone-in ribeye and bone-in double-cut pork chop as part of the full Churrasco experience. And you can make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com.
Preston, I pulled up a photo of Mount Sunflower here on the screen for you.
Oh, I'm sure it's nothing as far as its height
goes. Look how majestic that mountain is.
Yeah, Kansas is the flattest state. I think one of the flattest states
in the country.
They showed
tourists stepping over it, Preston.
Does it give its elevation at all, Nick? I'm curious.
7 feet. Yeah, it doesn't have it here, but I mean, Steve, it's literally just a metal sign in the middle of a field somewhere. It's a high point, I guess, in Kansas, but it's not a mountain.
Right. All right, let's go through some of the entertainment stories. Amber Heard, and I believe we have clips from this. Amber Heard sat down for her first interview since the verdict was announced in the Johnny Depp defamation trial. Preview for the interview with NBC's Savannah Guthrie premiered on the Today Show yesterday. When asked about the jury's decision, she said she doesn't blame them. And we're going to play that clip first. So
she understands why they reached their decision.
All right, here we...
Okay, that's when you want is number two?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah, let's try that.
Balls off.
She sounds different. I don't know how I did that.
Post-trial.
It has really devastated her, this trial. Sounds like an incoherent child.
It was Preston's child.
Could you make one more move on me, motherfucker, and I'll cut your balls off.
Oh,
I'll shove them up here. I'll bury you. I'll put a fix in your eyes. I'll chop your eyeballs. I'll send them to your family so they can eat.
That does not sound like Amber Heard at all.
But she sounds better.
Is the other voice her attorney?
That's
Preston,
both my voice.
Is that, but the one doing the longer, is it Carter?
That's Carter. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Carter delivering the bulk of that, and then Parker jumps in at the end there.
That was so good.
We need to bring back toddler theater with your son, Kathy.
Oh, is he too old?
You think we could do that?
How old is he?
No, I think he's
fine.
What
about Desmond?
Yeah, we could maybe do Des. Yeah.
Whose child wants to be corrupted?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. All right, anyway.
You know, oh, my nephew would be great. He curses anyway, so.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. By the way, when people ask, they're using substitute words for the bleeped words.
They're adults now. I don't care. You can believe they really curse. All right, so here we go. This is the clip that we're looking for.
How could they make a judgment? How could they not come to that conclusion? They had sat in those seats and heard over 3 weeks of nonstop, relentless testimony from paid employees and towards the end of the trial, randos, as I say.
Well, she had also said, I don't blame them, talking about the jury. She said, I actually understand. He's a beloved character, and people feel that they know him, and he's a fantastic actor. She also commented on social media's role in the case. I think we have a clip of that, Casey.
We have her. I don't know. This is the only one I see.
Let's try this one.
Even somebody who is sure I'm deserving of all this hate and vitriol, even if you think that I'm lying, you still couldn't look me in the eye and tell me that you think on social media there's been a fair representation. You cannot tell me that you think that this has been fair.
Yeah, she said that I don't care what anyone, what one thinks about me or what judgments you want to make about or what happened in the privacy of my own home and marriage behind closed doors. I don't presume the average person should know those things, and so I don't take it personally. But she also says she hasn't been represented fairly on social media.
And social media is usually very fair.
Very fair.
Yeah.
Yes, so of course.
what clip was that from Toddler Theater? What
I was from Analyze This.
Oh.
When Paul Vitti's on the phone and he's talking to Primo and he's trying to be calm and he's relaxing. And all of a sudden he starts, you make one more move on me, I swear to God, that's that.
Gotcha.
That's what that's
from. I don't think I would have gotten that one.
Nah.
Let's see. So the full interview is scheduled for Friday, but more excerpts will be shown today and tomorrow on the Today Show.
So somebody was breaking down why this broke the way it did. And the truth of the matter was, it was all goes to this article, which was this whole defamation thing is over.
Yeah.
And she, without mentioning him.
Yeah.
Basically said he was an abusive husband, and that was, and painted a picture of somebody much more abusive, at least to his thinking, and so that's why he reacted.
Yeah, and that's why when she makes these claims about her being unjustly or unfairly represented on social media, it's like, you started this whole thing. Like, you're the one who, like, went on social media and you know.
You know what? They're going to go at it again because they're going to appeal it. And this is it. And I know so many people are so thrilled by the fact that they're going to be back in court because they love this last trial. They loved it.
Speaking of court, on Monday, the Metropolitan Police reported that House of Cards actor Kevin Spacey was formally charged with sexual assault and is expected to appear in court in London later this week. Spacey was charged with 4 counts of sexual assault against 3 men. He has also been charged with causing a person to engage in penetrative sexual activity without consent, they said. The actor is scheduled to appear before the Westminster Magistrates Court on Thursday. This was sad news to see. Man, did this guy have a career. Philip Baker Hall, prolific character actor, known for his roles in films like Boogie Nights and Magnolia, and shows such as Seinfeld and Modern Family, has passed away. He was 90 years old.
I have to be honest. I thought he had already passed.
I thought he died.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't recall it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have doubted if I were going, he's still alive. But Hall's family confirmed the news, releasing a statement that said, our beloved Philip died quietly at home in Glendale, California, surrounded by his loving family. An impressive career of over 6 decades, holding roles in some of the most beloved movies and television of the modern era. His most memorable turns in film included playing the IRS boss in Say Anything, Sydney in Hard Eight, Floyd Gondoli in Boogie Nights, Jimmy Gator in Magnolia, Jack Baylor in Bruce Almighty, Sherwood Morrill in Zodiac, and a CIA director in Argo. When it came to TV, he gave over 200 guest performances, including as library cop Joe Bookman on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Also, Senator Matt Hunt on The West Wing, Dr. Morrison on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Walt Klizak on Modern Family.
We have a clip of him from Seinfeld and from Curb.
All right, here we go.
Well, I'm glad you're here so we can get this all straightened out. Would you like a cup of tea?
You got any coffee?
Coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
No, I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, you don't drink coffee? How about instant coffee?
No, I don't have...
You don't have any instant coffee?
Well, I don't normally.
Who doesn't have instant coffee?
I don't.
You buy a jar of Folgers crystals, you put it in a cupboard, you forget about it. And later on, when you need it, it's there. It lasts forever. It's freeze-dried. Freeze-dried crystals.
Really, I have to remember that.
You took this book out in 1971.
Yes, and I returned it in 1971.
Yeah, 71. That was my first year on the job. Bad year for libraries. Bad year for American. Hippies burning library cards. Abby Hoffman telling everybody to steal books. I don't judge a man by the length of his hair or the kind of music he listens to. Rock was never my bag. But you put on a pair of shoes when you walk into the New York Public Library, fella.
Look, Mr. Bookman.
They're using that dragnet,
yeah.
Jack Webb cadence, okay. Which I love.
Here's him on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Hello.
Jeff?
No. No, there's no Jeff here.
Is this Dr. Morrison?
Yeah, it is. It is. Who's this?
Oh, my God, it's Larry David.
Your patient, Larry David.
And wasn't it just a couple of days ago that I saw you and asked you not to call here?
No, I wasn't calling you.
I was calling Jeff Green. Listen, and your name is right under his. I must have pressed yours by accident.
I distinctly recall asking you not to call me.
No, I didn't call.
How can you say you didn't call? You did call.
I didn't call purposefully. It was an accident.
An accident call. It's still a call.
His film debut came in 1970 with Cowards, about the Vietnam War draft evasion, which screened at that year's Cannes Film Festival. His first TV guest roles came in the 70s on Good Times in 1976, and then MASH and The Man from Atlantis. He worked in film. He worked up for Hall. Work picked up for him during the 80s. When he starred as Richard Nixon in Secret Honor, and then held supporting roles in movies like Gary Marshall's Nothing in Common, Midnight Run with Robert De Niro, John Hughes' classic rom-com Say Anything, and Ghostbusters 2, in which he played the police commissioner. He kicked off the 90s by appearing on Seinfeld as Joe Bookman, which we just heard, and that role became so iconic that he would reprise it in the show's series finale. And he also began working with Paul Thomas Anderson during that decade. He was in his short film Cigarettes and Coffee, and led to his directorial debut in Hard Eight, which he stars alongside John C. Reilly. He later appeared in Anderson's films Boogie Nights and Magnolia. He's great in both of those.
Yeah, terrific.
And Hall's career in film continued to grow in the 90s and 2000s. Films such as The Truman Show, The Talented Mr. Ripley, The Insider, Dogville, Bruce Almighty, Zodiac, and Argo.
Hell of a career.
Hell of a career. 90 years old. So sad news. Some people were not happy to see Kim Kardashian wearing Marilyn Monroe's 1962 dress in this year's Met Gala. But the latest buzz about the dress is certain to ruffle some more feathers. On Monday, Pop Crave posted side-by-side photos of the dress to Twitter that were supposedly taken before Kim wore it and then after it hit the red carpet. And the
Oh, my God. Did she mud it up?
She sharded it.
Oh, no.
The caption reads, Marilyn Monroe's iconic dress has reportedly been damaged after being worn by Kim at the Met Gala. The dress now shows signs of tearing, and several crystals are either missing or hanging off of it.
Yes, a burrito, a bran muffin, and a black coffee, please.
Let me remind you, this dress is valued at $5 million.
Yeah.
And it is an iconic piece of wardrobe, so, like, those things are irreplaceable.
One has to wonder how it was brokered in the first place. They must have put up some sort of insurance or bond or something to, but again, once it's ruined.
Yeah, but still, if you can't get those missing pieces back.
Get those stains out.
That's a part of history.
Those skin marks.
Yeah. Kardashian told Vogue that she lost 16 pounds in order to fit into that dress. She also told the publication, I'm extremely respectful to the dress and what it means to American history.
You shouldn't have done it, Kimmy.
I would never want to sit in it or eat in it or have any risk of any damage to it, and I won't be wearing the kind of body makeup I usually do.
You heard the latest is that Caitlyn wants to wear it now.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's not going to fit.
Hey, what is, Kathy, what would body makeup be?
Makeup, is that what they're saying was on it?
No, she said I wouldn't be wearing any body makeup I usually do while wearing that
like
dress.
Moisturizer and things.
No,
like
no, body like I mean some people will put like their makeup will go down their neck and onto their chest like yeah. You know to cover what you know whatever a blemish or something okay. Like that.
I draw happy faces around my nipples with lipstick.
Yeah, that would be body makeup. That's what that is.
I remember so John Gonzalez, he's not in the city anymore but he used to be on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I remember busting his balls one time cuz he was doing a Phillies post game and he clearly had makeup on his face which is fine. But he put none on his neck and it looked like he was just like his face was on like a white pole.
Do you guys find when you and I know Kathy used to do it all the time that when they put that stuff on a couple hours after you feel like you're encased. It's just
what like this, the TV like makeup?
TV makeup.
Oh, it's like I hated it.
Yeah.
Britney Spears has been granted a restraining order against her ex-husband Jason Alexander days after he broke into her home just before her wedding ceremony. On Thursday, Alexander was arrested by the Ventura Sheriff's Department prior to the planned nuptials to Sam Asghari. And Spears' lawyer says that her restraining order against Alexander was granted. He was charged with felony stalking and is incarcerated. Spears' restraining order, which says Alexander can't go within 100 yards of Spears, will last for 3 years. And he made a virtual appearance at his court hearing on Monday and entered a not guilty plea. Along with the stalking felony, Alexander has been charged with misdemeanor counts of trespassing and refusing to leave private property, vandalism, and battery per his booking from the Ventura County Sheriff's Office. His bail is set at $100,000.
Look at a picture of this dude. He's got some serious eyebrows.
Yeah.
And those are Matt Rovine eyebrows.
During the Thursday incident, he went on live Instagram, around the property, revealing their wedding decorations, which were still being arranged by party planners. He could be heard yelling her name and claiming this to security that he was invited. He had said, so here's the scoop, guys, of the Bull S wedding. Jason Alexander, what's up? He was greeting workers and shaking one's hand. He said, my name's Jason Alexander. Brittany invited me here. Brittany invited me here. She's my first wife, my only wife. I'm her first husband. But Spears' assistant was alerted to the live video that was going on and tracked him down and got him out of there. And now he's been arrested.
I like when they say, hey, guys, and you look at the amount of people who subscribe, 30, you know. Yep. Hey, guys.
Jennifer Hudson made history Sunday night. The Respect star. Join the Elite EGOT Club.
Wow.
So she has won an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and now a Tony Award in her career. Hudson already had an Emmy, Grammy, and Oscar. On Sunday, she won a Tony thanks to her role as a co-producer of A Strange Loop, which won for Best Musical. And she had joked to People Magazine in 2020 about a plan to join the Less Than 20 People Club. She said, I got a dog named at Oscar, and then I won my Oscar. And then I got a dog named at Grammy, and then I won my Grammy. She said, so I think I should get some dogs named Emmy and Tony. That'll give me good luck. But in 2007, she won Best Supporting Actress Oscar for her role in Dreamgirls, 2 Grammys, Best R&B Album in 2009, and Best Musical Theater Album of the musical The Color Purple in 2017. Last year, she snagged a daytime Emmy for the animated short Baba Yaga, which she helped voice and co-produced, and she is now one of 17 EGOT winners.
It's pretty amazing.
Wow. I just want to point out, though, and we bust chops all the time, she was a contestant on American Idol.
Did she win?
That's where she came.
No, she didn't.
Right, and there you go.
I don't know. Who was the winner of that season?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The only, if you're talking about people who have won, who have gone on, Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood, right?
I don't.
What, to have a
that actually won American Idol and had big careers?
Good question. I don't know. Yeah.
So I saw this story the other day, Preston, and then I also saw that Billy Crystal was trending with EGOT as well, and I didn't know why. Does anybody see a reason behind Billy Crystal? Was he close to winning an EGOT?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. I can't imagine. He's super talented, but I don't remember him ever winning an Oscar.
Billy Crystal?
Or a Grammy. Well, maybe for comedy.
Like, spoken word stuff or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Not really sure. Will Smith, speaking of Oscars, is all geared up to make a major comeback after flying under the radar since the Oscars. He is reportedly working on his return with I Am Legend 2. An insider
Electric
said
Boogaloo.
The concept of the movie is still to be signed off by Warner Brothers, but there have been no indication that Will is off the project. He's a producer of the film, and his production company is in charge while the development continues. The reality is, the source said that Will make a comeback at some point, and it will be simply down to which studio will be the one to take a chance on him. The negative sentiments from the public about his career have certainly reduced in recent weeks as the world has moved on, thanks to stories like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And Will himself is undergoing therapy and taking time away from the limelight.
He's going to have to do a public mea culpa at some point.
But they point out how Hollywood loves comeback stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people who have fallen from grace turn right back around, like Robert Downey Jr. and Mel Gibson and Winona Ryder and Drew Barrymore. So
I have a question. With I Am Legend, if they go with the theatrical release version, it didn't look like it's going to be viable for him to be in the sequel. Did you guys see the version that was the alternate version where Will Smith survives?
I have heard about it. I have not seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yes.
The clip?
Yeah. So he and the woman and the kid escape in the car and find a camp where other people are alive.
Right.
And so it builds from there.
And
not the theatrical version.
Okay, how does the book end?
It's very different with Robert Neville, the character he's playing in a jail cell. And what has happened is that you had the vampire-like creatures, and then they started to evolve into more lucid-thinking creatures. Okay. And so what happens is that through a couple of different situations, he ends up in a jail cell caught by those hybrid creatures, and he pulls himself up on the bars and looks out. When he looks out the window, all of those creatures are looking at him, and they kind of recoil in horror, and then he realizes, I'm the monster now.
Oh, shit.
There's more of them than me. And so he says, I am legend.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. A couple other quick things. This is a lot of fun. I think we have a clip of this as well. You already know that Thanos can snap and eliminate half of all existing life forms. But did you know it can also double all Josh Brolin life forms? Josh Brolin demonstrated it in his Variety Actors on Actors conversation, which he was interviewed by Josh Brolin. The segment wasn't always meant to be that way because the interview was supposed to be between Brolin and his Avengers Endgame co-star Jeremy Renner. But the Hawkeye actor was a last-minute no-show. No further explanation is given on that. But he was left hanging, so they ended up cutting together him interviewing himself.
It's very funny.
So let's play a little bit of that. Is this the open of it, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
I'm nervous. It's great to be here with you, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan, and
no, I really appreciate that.
Sorry, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. It's just that when you respect somebody as much as I respect you, do you mind if I look at you in the eye, or do you want me to look down? I mean, you can look at me. You can look at me. Look at you. My eyes. Look at my eyes. You have this new show, Outer Range, which I wanted to watch the whole thing. They started sending me all the episodes, but I saw the first two episodes, and my God, man. I mean, that prayer scene in episode 2 is incredible.
And he goes on with stuff like, I loved you in Goonies,
right,
you know.
Right, yeah.
All that. So that is, I'm glad they went ahead and ran with it.
It's a good series.
Canceling the whole thing.
Yeah. I've watched a number of those. And you have, you know, people who have similar acting experiences sharing thoughts. And it's cool.
All right. And then let me see one last thing I was going to mention. Yeah, here we go. Variety reports that Pixar's Lightyear has been banned from several West Asian countries, including Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Kuwait. The film will not be shown because of a scene that involves the character Alicia, a new lesbian space ranger, greeting her partner with a kiss on the lips. The shot was originally cut by Disney, but it was later reinstated after Pixar animators criticized Disney in an open letter asking them to cut, quote, overtly gay affection. So they've actually banned it in Saudi Arabia and some of those other countries.
Yeah,
which is kind of what they do.
They don't want to see cartoon characters kissing?
Yeah, I guess not.
That's all I want to see.
That's all I want to see.
I want to see Bugs Bunny making out with Elmer Fudd.
All right. I've seen that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do clips now. God's favorite idiot is a mid-level tech support employee who falls in love with his coworker while at the same time becoming the unwitting messenger of God. Here, series creator Ben Falcone shares how the show came together.
The idea of putting out just kind of a positive message felt sort of appealing. And then Melissa really came up with the idea of setting it in an office where they're all tech workers and he's a mid-level tech employee. And I was like, oh, that's really perfect because, you know, this unassuming guy to me or woman or whomever does seem like who God would pick.
Really?
Yeah.
So Ben Falcone is Melissa McCarthy's husband.
Oh, okay.
So God's Favorite Idiot streams on Netflix tomorrow.
He's the one in the bed at the end of Bridesmaids.
Yep.
With the
yep. The bear sandwich.
Yeah. And he's the air marshal, too.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. That's great. Here's the next clip. Evil is a psychological mystery series, which explores the line between science, religion, and questions whether really demonic beings live among us. And in this clip, David Acosta, actor, Mike Coulter shares why he likes playing this role.
He is a comic relief of this show in places where it seems inappropriate to have comic relief. But to that end, we are able to give the audience a little bit of a breather in terms of always feeling like on edge or like something's going to happen.
Yeah!
So this is a show that we had Michael Perino, or I mean...
No, that is From...
Okay, another one-word title.
And
okay.
Really good as well.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Season 3 of Evil is on Paramount Plus now.
So, Preston, to let you know, and as a Stephen King fan, you might like this sort of deal because, like in the Season 3 opener, they had an episode where they're trying to reconcile religion and soul and demons and all this stuff, and so they wanted to conduct this experiment where at the point of death, they're going to weigh the body just before someone died and then weigh it right after to see if it was lighter, if technically the soul has left the body.
Right, if there's a physical weight to the soul.
But what happens is something wholly other that makes a wild episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm into that. All right, that's the entertainment report, and I have just been told that we have a movie screening coming up. And we got some movie passes to give away. We have passes to see The Black Phone.
Oh, this is supposed to be awesome.
It's coming up next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. So
I think it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take five callers, 215-263-WMMR. The description says critics are calling it the nightmare-inducing movie, and Ethan Hawke gives a blood-curdling performance unlike anything we've ever seen. From Blumhouse and the director of Doctor Strange and Sinister, Universal Pictures presents The Black Phone, which is rated R in theaters June 24th. I don't know much about this, so I'm intrigued. I will have to look into that.
Yeah, the trailer's enough to scare the hell out of you.
Five callers, let's get you on the line, set you up, head you off to the movies. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Don't forget, Glenn Howerton, Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will be joining us this morning around 9 o'clock to talk about the fact that the gang is coming to Philly at the Met, and that will be on September 18th. That is for their podcast live. So we'll be back in a sec. Hang in there with us this morning. Hey, gang, time's running out to sign up for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
It's happening on the 24th at two convenient locations.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks.
And the Event Center inside Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and on-site refreshments, including Everfresh juice.
Plus a reusable tote bag from our friends at Window Nation.
And for the first time, we'll be doing our show live from Oaks while Brent, Jackie, and Sarah will check in live from Live Casino.
As for Pierre, he'll be somewhere, we're sure.
Oh, dear. The I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, benefiting the American Red Cross.
Make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Sponsored by Recovery Centers of America. For addiction and mental health treatment, call 1-800-RECOVERY.
From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first. Yesterday, I did kind of a half-assed noticer, and I haven't felt right about that at all. We essentially did like 1.5 stories.
You know, if I may say,
yes,
you pulled out too fast.
I did. Yeah. I did. Yes, it was a quick pull out.
Wham, and bam, and thank boom. You.
So may I dive back into that realm?
Sure.
Is that
okay
with you guys?
I could notice or redux.
I could even put the mask on if you wanted.
What? Oh my god!
No.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Oh.
I don't see it anymore.
Wait, what?
Oh, there it is.
I'm
boning big time.
I got it. I need new
mask?
Elastic on my mask. The mask is good.
We need the elastic-er.
But this is...
Okay, we got an idea.
What?
Staple it to your head.
Oh, you already did that.
Staple it to your head.
Here, hold on.
Yeah,
I got a stapler.
All right, the noticer's putting on his mask. Hasn't put him on in, like, the past six noticers.
Wait, I put my mask on first and then the glasses.
No, no, you're a stretcher. Glasses out.
Said with a loving tone of a mother who wants to snap your neck.
Doesn't work. Right. I'm going to put the glasses on under the mask.
Yes.
You know what you need? Noticer contact lenses.
I do need. Could you put lenses inside the mask?
You could. I would hope so.
I mean, that'd be cool.
We should probably really get that done.
Who would do that? Would
Bausch and Lomb?
Would that be Alfred's job? Or
Alfred would do it.
Your glasses. You'll notice the glasses. Right.
I have the mask on. This is not going to last long.
No.
Is it uncomfortable?
It's weird. Yeah. It's hard to see.
Here's the deal.
You know, you can take them off.
All right. Then what?
We are going to take that mask to your optometrist, and we are going to.
Okay.
That is something we have to do.
Please do it. Please do it. You have my permission. You can also pay for it.
Yeah.
Glasses are expensive. All right. So, anyhow, I'm going to lead with something really offbeat.
Something that you've noticed.
I noticed this story, and it's really weird, and there's no reason for it, but I found it very, very interesting. It's just an interesting fact from a Redditor known as Kiwi2703. And they decided to get creative with some calculations and answer a question that maybe no one has ever asked. But if you blended up all of the humans in the world, how big would the resulting human meatball be?
All right.
Yeah, you got it.
If you were to turn the entire population of the Earth into a meatball, how big would that meatball
everyone,
be?
Everyone, if we took all their bodies and blended them up and all that goo, that giant human meatball.
No additives, no hamburger helper, just straight up what you got.
No people helper. Right. So taking into account a worldwide population of 7.88 billion people, a human density of about 61.5 pounds per 3 feet or feet cubed. I'm not sure what that is. And an average human weight of about 137 pounds. The human goo sphere is about 0.62 miles wide. That is a meatball that is about 2/3 of a mile wide, or the equivalent of 3 Eiffel Towers. And apparently this sphere of human meat would fit easily inside Central Park.
I'm surprised.
I am, too. I thought it would be bigger.
Yeah, I thought it would be bigger.
Like Dalton. I thought they would be bigger.
Yeah, because Eiffel Tower is not a massive skyscraper by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I thought it would be bigger. I think it would be bigger, like, than Manhattan.
Yeah. I was thinking the size of Manhattan.
And yet they're
like
saying
that.
It's only a small part of Manhattan.
Right. That it would fit into Central Park
would
easily.
Would it fit in one subway car?
But I guess if you squish everybody up, that it might. We're looking at a rendering of it now.
By the way, the rendering is not indicative of what you just said, because perhaps if you were to flatten it out and roll it out, you might get coverage of the entire park. But right now,
maybe even all of Manhattan. Look at how tall that is. I think the height wise would be three.
It'd be a big ball of meat.
So that would be a very large ball of
meat. I wouldn't like it.
So. No.
Taste-wise, what kind of gravy?
Oh, I would go with probably a brown gravy, but that's me.
What?
You know, kind of like Swedish meatballs. You know,
I'm thinking the same thing because I don't know what human flesh tastes like.
You're out of your mind.
What would you think? Like a marinara?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would actually go with like a... What?
I don't know. On this...
You're going to choose a brown gravy.
I bet you this is
going
to be a gnarly meat, so I think I'd prefer the Swedish meatballs.
What animals would we make the gravy out of?
Oh, God.
By the way, my mom used to make a thing called...
Human meatballs.
It was a meatball, but it was called porcupine.
Oh,
you guys ever have those?
No, I have not.
All right, it was...
Wait, did you call it porcupine or porcupine?
Probably. All right, let me just...
I'm just curious.
It might be pork if it was made from pork.
No, no, no. Now I have to say it like effortlessly and... You know,
because it was made of pork. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Porcupine.
No, porcupine.
Porcupine.
Okay.
Porcupine.
So it's made of porcupine.
Porcupine.
Yeah, I was
porcupine. I probably say porcupine, but I say it's so mush mouthy that it sounds like. Well, either way, porcupine is a meatball.
I hear it now. I hear porcupine.
Yeah. Right?
Porcupine.
I've been saying porcupine ever since kindergarten, all right, guys?
So Preston thought the same thing I thought. He said, oh, this is a meatball made with pork, and that's why she's called it the porcupine.
It was called a porcupine because it was meatballs made with rice in it, okay. And the rice kind of gave it little...
I've had those.
Yeah.
Little points.
Yeah.
They're okay.
I like those.
But those were made with a brown gravy, so those are more like the Swedish meatball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember that journalist who got in trouble? He was with a cannibal... civilization, a tribe.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
He tried a little bit of human meat.
No, he didn't.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
wow. Then you shouldn't do that.
Right. Okay, well, discuss at work what would accompany a human meatball. And you guys have a nice little chat around lunch today. But yes, if you were to make a human, all the humans in the world would make a meatball that could fit into Times Square, or I mean into Central Park.
Yeah.
But the meatball would be gigantic. It would be very, very tall.
They don't recommend doing that.
I'm sure you were thinking about that. All right, here's a local story. I saw this on CBS3's website.
Is that where you noticed it?
I noticed it on CBS3's website. Residents in a Bucks County 55 and older condo community say that some have been left stranded. It happened after management announced that their one elevator would be shut down for weeks due to some major upgrades. And there are people that have mobility issues.
Yeah.
And so
they
can't
stay in their room?
Use the elevator at all. The one elevator in the building.
Can't do that.
Where is it?
It is called the Centennial Station. Privately owned, independent, 50-plus retirement community.
I live on the 58th floor.
With
that's
more than...
like Warminster or something.
Warminster Township.
Oh, there you go.
400 condos between 10 buildings. Okay, so there's 10 buildings. And each building has one elevator, and they have to replace them all. So they're approaching the end of their 30-year span and need to be replaced. But doing so means cutting off access for many here with mobility challenges. And they said that a renovation...
Setting up tents in the parking lot. Shut up.
A renovation project means the only elevator in each building will be out of service for 4 to 6 weeks with stairs as their only option up and down. Now, I don't know how many...
I have to feed my guinea pig.
I don't know how many floors each building is, but two buildings at a time will be repaired on a rolling basis through the fall. And residents say while management is offering to help grocery deliveries and trash pickup, it's not enough and some have to move out. For the time being, they have to move in with families and stuff because they can't go anywhere.
They should at least provide
three stories tall.
Four stories, yeah.
Four stories. Okay. They should provide at least rope ladders outside. Right, Preston?
Yeah. Where you can climb in and out of the windows.
How do you do this goddamn thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But I mean, listen.
Ooh, they have a hair salon there for them.
I do not miss apartment living and having to use an elevator to get in and out. I know Marissa lives that way.
Yeah.
But that can be a hassle.
Well, if you get the local, it's a nightmare. If you're stopping at multiple floors, like if you get home at a certain time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been fortunate whenever I've had an apartment in an apartment building, it was on the main floor.
Okay. Back in the day when you helped friends move, I had a friend, this is, you know, early to mid-20s, moved into a place in Center City, Philadelphia, Steve, that did not have an elevator at all. And he lived on the fourth or fifth floor. And we were recruited, you know, to come help him move. And it
lived. Pivot!
Yeah.
Did he pay you in pizza?
He did, and beer. And it was just one of those things where, like, you know, you want to help out a friend, but man, like, in a building, and there are still obviously plenty in Center City that don't have any elevators whatsoever. I don't know how you do it on a daily basis.
Yeah, I lived in an apartment complex. I think I was like on the fifth floor or something like that. It wasn't too bad, but still, waiting for the elevator, waiting when people were using it was. I mean, it's just you're used to the convenience of just walking right out the door.
So
you know?
We have six stories here, right? So when the building is at full occupancy and prior to COVID, you know, you'd hit the button to go down and it would take forever.
And we have six elevators per floor.
We do.
Yeah.
And that was an issue. So, yeah, how you can possibly I mean,
not per floor, per in the building.
Per
we
square
have six
inch.
Elevators.
Or, no, we have nine.
I guess per floor.
Nine?
Nine? Yeah, there's three in the east,
nine?
Three in the center,
nine
and
elevators?
Three in the west.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had nine times.
Nine
times.
I'd love to live
nine
in a
retirement. Nine times.
I forget that there's four of them.
Yeah.
To live in a retirement community. Like at this point in my
the
life,
new ones, they're awesome.
Oh my, like you never have to go anywhere. You can shop on the first floor.
They have shuffleboard.
They have Steve. Some of the ones now you can park on the floor in which you live. Your the car elevator goes up to the same place where you live.
They have all sorts of cool amenities, not like the classic old people stuff.
Oh my God.
I just want to go to the place that has the tiki bar. What's that one out in Harleysville?
Oh, yes. I forgot the name of
John
it.
Oates. John Oates.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, getting ripped and getting laid all day long.
Yep, they have pretty much everything you need. You don't have to go anywhere. You can hang out and get hammered.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
You don't care if you can make it up to your apartment.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is very weird.
So I don't know what they're gonna do about the people who really need to get in and out, up and down, and have mobility problems.
Can they set up like one of those Red Dawn internment camps and bring them there for a while?
Maybe they could do that. I don't know if they'd consider that or not. All right, let me see what else I got here for you. I did notice some other things. I mean, I am wearing the mask after all. You guys ever heard of a pizzly bear?
Oh, yeah.
It's
a combination of a polar and a grizzly.
Correct. Oh. Yeah. So more polar bears. So apparently the animal is a hybrid created by the mating of a grizzly bear and a polar bear.
It's like a gramster, which is a grizzly bear and a hamster.
Got to see those things.
Yeah.
Apparently, scientists found could be happening more often due to climate change. And more polar bears are migrating further south where they encounter grizzly bears.
And they're getting their freak on.
Because rising temperatures have thinned the Arctic sea ice, pushing polar bears into unfamiliar territory.
So are we getting like F2 pizzly bears where it's like one pizzly mates with another pizzly and then you're getting like...
Oh, I don't know. Mm. I don't know if that's happened yet or not.
Pizzly 2.0?
So like, you know, these doodles are all the rage these days, right? So you have like an F1 doodle, right? That's where you got like one poodle and one Labrador, right?
Oh, I didn't
and
know what you were talking about with doodle.
Okay. They make an F1 doodle and then you have like an F2 doodle.
What about a polar doodle?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. But, like, you have an F2 doodle where you have two doodles that mate, and they make a doodle puppies.
Yeah.
And so that's an F2 doodle.
And then you have a dildo.
Yeah.
They also call it a growler bear.
A growler bear? Like
Pizzly or growler bear.
Pizzly bear.
Are they of substantial size? I assume that they would be, yes?
Yes. So...
It's like a light brown color, Steve.
Right.
They're actually kind of attractive. Yeah. So, I love polar bears.
A new study found that the effect on the bear species habitats have also affected the animal's mating behaviors. University of Buffalo researchers behind the study...
Come over, we'll watch Netflix and chill.
...believe that grizzly bears and polar bears could have been mating by chance for thousands of years, but climate change is intensifying that breeding between the species. The pizzly bear, first spotted in 2006 in the Canadian Arctic... has the white fur of a polar bear, but the long claws, humpback, shallow face, and brown patches of a grizzly.
Yeah.
So researchers remain uncertain about when grizzly bears, also called brown bears, and polar bears...
It'll be my regular Saturday.
...began to interbreed.
You know what? When you talk about the liger, and we talk about it often, they are enormous. So as a breed that is a hybrid between a lion and a tiger, you've seen these things, right? I mean, they're just gigantic. And I wonder if this hybrid bear will exceed... Because the polar bear is the largest bear, right?
Yes.
I wonder if this will exceed that.
Yeah. If you get grizzlies are big enough already, you know, and apparently they have longer claws and some more.
Steve, I always get confused because there are like by weight and then by height. I think Kodiak bears are the biggest bears.
By weight.
Yeah. And then, but you're right, Steve, about polar bears, they can be taller.
Yep. They're big. They're just massive.
The grizzly, the Kodiak bears, Preston, we were on a tram when my wife and I went to Alaska, going up the side of a mountain that was known for its dense Kodiak population. Oh, my God. These things moving through the forest. You're thinking, please don't break cable because I don't want to fall down into this forest. These things were like cars with claws.
Yeah. Expert said, we know they are still able to mate today and can produce fertile offspring, and so they may have been mating off and on since the species split or whenever the two species came into contact.
It just sucks because they are so adorable that...
You want to pet them so bad and hug them and give them noogies?
Yeah,
right.
You can't.
But honestly, the claws on a bear... are spikes.
Oh.
Like, you know, that could just eviscerate you in seconds.
And listen, I know it's a movie, but in The Revenant, when Leonardo DiCaprio's character is
he's dancing with the bear.
He's dancing with the bear. And he puts his hand in the bear's hand. You're like, oh my God, that's adorable.
I do not think bears are cute in the slightest bit. No.
Oh,
I know you
God.
Guys say that I all know. The time. The cubs, yes. But bears, I don't look at a bear and go, "Aw, no."
When they're doing something like really cute, like
there's a picture. It's a video of like the grizzly bear, and the people have pulled up and they're throwing pieces of toast to it, and the bear's sitting down and cat. And I get where you're coming from. You're looking at a kill machine, Preston.
Yeah.
For me, maybe it's been influenced by years of bear stories or the Bernstein bears or whatever.
Yeah.
But I look at them and I go, "We're looking at a video now of a cute bear with the hose." But they will kill you. They will kill you and your family, and they will ruin your credit.
Yeah,
ruin your credit.
Yes.
Too? Oh man.
Yeah, I don't see the cute thing. But you know, I mean, they're massive, and they do what they do. The older a mating event is, the more difficult it is for the experts to find evidence of it in today's populations. However, from a study. They find sharing of DNA brown bears in modern polar bears, and it involves 115,000 to 130,000 year old polar bear. What?
That's an old bear.
That is an old bear.
I remember when the volcanoes went away and everything started to cool off. I'm an older bear.
So the number of pizzly bears alive today remains low, but there could be more of the hybrid bear species in the future.
What do they predict for the Gramster?
I don't know. I haven't seen the study on the Gramster as of yet. All right, I think we're going to switch gears altogether. Let's go somewhere else. Because I actually do have several animals.
This has been very good so far. This has been a good noticer.
I have several animal stories, but I think I want to skip around a little bit. Fuller lips, of course, are all the rage, but experts are warning against using at-home hyaluronic acid pen.
Okay. At home anything.
This to achieve the effect.
Ava Longoria, Hawks, it's all the big thing. Using hyaluronic acid various cosmetics. That's the new buzz, I guess, chemical or additive, hyaluronic acid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you can buy it on Amazon.
And you just inject it into your lips?
I don't know.
While some problematic.
TikTokers.
Look at these inner tubes on my face.
Praise the pen for offering quick and inexpensive plump peckers.
Plump peckers.
That's my favorite movie.
Medical and cosmetic experts say the pen may botch your appearance.
Yeah. Have you seen the latest commercial for Botox, Preston, talking about this sort of stuff?
No.
This commercial goes to elaborate lengths to explain all of the possible, in a way I have not seen before, the possible migration of Botox in your face, the paralysis it can cause.
No! Never getting it.
Kathy, I've never seen a commercial, because they've had commercials for Botox, but this current one really spells out as clear as they can the potential side effects.
By the way, this hyaluronic acid, this device, is actually intended for diabetic patients to give themselves insulin.
So is it like little needles? You're injecting something in yourself, into your
lips?
I would
assume so, but I don't know for sure, Kathy. But when I think diabetes, I always think needles for some reason or another. People, have to give themselves insulin.
Well, we give our cat insulin shots every day.
Injections. But using the device improperly can cause inflammation, bacterial, or fungal infections as well.
Gross.
So
my lips are full of fungus.
So that's why are they so fluffy?
Because they're full of fungus.
They're all squishy.
Wow.
So it creates enough pressure externally against the tissue to push the acid filler into the dermal layer of your skin without the use of needles.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like it.
I think you're playing with fire.
All right, so speaking of fungus, Snore Stop Naso Spray has become the most recent nasal spray to be recalled for a microbial contamination.
All right. Cause your scrotum to detonate.
Careful there. Your balls will explode.
It's really dangerous.
Be careful.
Might cause scrotum detonation.
Wait, what? How does it even get down there?
Goes through your nose.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Many don't realize that the nasal passage and testes are connected.
It was an educational film.
That's where the old saying, "Can I smell your balls," comes from.
I'm not familiar with that saying.
Yeah, who says that?
The old saying, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Can I smell your balls?
Will Rogers used to use that all the time.
I had no idea. They had written, the notice says, though this contamination isn't often associated with human illness, it does admit in people with damaged immune systems. The use of the recalled product could potentially result in severe or life-threatening adverse events such as bacteremia, sepsis.
You just cast a spell.
Pneumonia. Yeah.
Bacteremia nexus. Kathy's now a squiggle, whatever that bear is.
Pneumonia, a pizzle.
Pizzle.
Pneumonia, invasive fungal rhinosinusitis, or disseminated fungal infection.
Let me ask you, is there anything on a cosmetic level that would require, like this with needles or anything, this stuff, that you would do to yourself? I think if people are nuts, like when they do like butt implants and stuff, and they'll go to somebody in a garage. It's insane.
Was there anything that I would do? No.
Like your own shots, or like the lip thing, or wrinkle room, you know?
No. I mean, the closest I did for a while was I dyed my beard.
And it agitated you. You had a reaction.
I had an allergic reaction. It was extremely painful. And I would probably still be doing it. I probably did dye the beard because until more gray comes into my hair, because the beard is gray and the hair is less so, but I would do that, but yeah, I can't think of any beauty regimen or anything like that.
That you'd risk.
Or treatment.
You know, no, it's too, it's just too much.
We should, for fun, just plump our lips up one day and just, you and me, be the radio show host and have big, full, plump lips.
They have that lipstick that will do it. It's like temporary, like it kind of just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it like cayenne pepper or something?
Yeah, it has some kind of...
Something in it.
Adjutant that... I mean, it's swelling. That's what it is. Bad, right?
I don't like that.
What if you do it tomorrow for Fox?
Yeah.
For Fox, good day.
God. I think we should.
Let's look at the ramifications of this. I don't want to...
Or tomorrow on Fox, without telling them, we just do full-blown, like, drag makeup.
Yeah.
And then just go on the air and talk normally about our conversation.
Case, you can get the lip plumping lipstick anywhere. I mean,
I go to
Ulta, or I get it on Amazon.
Okay. Let's try that.
All right.
Let's try this. I'll try it. Just see if it works or not. It probably won't work.
And I think.
Have you used it, Kathy?
No, because I have big lips, so I never had to use it. I have friends that use it. It does plump it up a little bit. Not like you're not going to look like you have lip fillers or anything like that, but it will give it a little plump.
Presence.
Yeah.
How long does it take?
Not
instantaneous.
Yeah. It'll take you'll put it on and it'll be, maybe like a minute.
Minutes?
No, like a minute or something like that. Yeah.
I'm a little scared. I'm scared.
I'm scared of that.
I'm scared.
Okay. But I'll try it.
I'm awful scared.
I'll take one for the team.
All right. If you do it, I'll try it.
So this particular spray, the Snore Stop Naso Spray, is marketed as cutting down the symptoms of non-apneic snoring. So if you have apnea, this won't help that.
What's your situation like with your... Do you have an apnea situation?
I do. I have mild sleep apnea. I do not use a CPAP or anything like that. I tried to for a while. It didn't work. So I have trained myself to not sleep on my back.
Yeah.
I sleep exclusively on my sides. Oh. So therefore, I don't snore and wake myself up.
Have you ever tried a pap smear?
I have not, okay. But I am willing. What do I need for that? A cervix?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw a thing yesterday. It was just a graphic that said the benefits of sleeping on your left side rather than your right side.
Yeah.
So if you sleep on your left side, you will have like less like acid reflux and stuff.
And giant genitals.
Giant genitals. Huge genitals. That I guess there's more benefits for you to sleep on your left side than it would be to sleep on your right side.
I do. Again, I sleep with the Sleep Number bed, the adjustable. I have it, which I thank God for. I sleep a la hospital style on my back with it raised.
That's a home
run for me. I love it.
So I've been having like some shoulder issues for the last couple of weeks. So, and normally I like to sleep on my left side. I can't do it. So I have been, if I want to actually get some sort of decent sleep, I have to sleep on my back, which I hate, Press. The same thing as you. Like I start like...
You're both stomach sleepers?
Yeah, stomach left. Yeah.
Yeah, do you wake yourself up?
Yeah.
You probably have apnea.
No, I definitely do.
You did do a sleep study, and didn't you rub one out prior to it? Wasn't that the...
Oh, that's right.
I mean, you
I remember you telling this.
Yeah, I needed to do everything.
I get it.
Your normal routine.
They tell you your normal routine. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you did.
So I stood on top of my bed, rubbed one out.
Yeah.
You guys do it that way, right?
While singing Ave Maria into a Dixie cup.
You're wearing your mom's panties.
Right?
Yep.
By the way,
You took a crap in your sock drawer.
Last time we talked about sleep studies, and I said that, you know, before I could get another, like, I wanted to get one of those oral devices that will help your apnea. And I said I didn't want to do another sleep study, and I have to. But many people either emailed or texted in and said that the sleep studies now, because I did mine probably, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, something like that.
It's pretty elaborate.
That they have since changed, and you can do them at home now.
Yes.
Without as an elaborate of a setup, because my head and face and I was wired, and I don't know how the hell I fell asleep with all that crap on my
face.
There's
no way in hell you're sleeping normally to get a proper reading while doing a sleep study.
Tell me, do you have sleep issues?
Yeah.
I do.
You've got the mask on. But
I toss and turn all night long.
What does it sound like when you snore?
My sleep number is zero.
So apparently it's much easier to get the sleep study. It's not as intrusive. You know, I don't think you have to go somewhere, or maybe you do in some
instances. I
remember
you described it. Was it you or maybe Casey? Many sensors hooked up and all
God.
This sort of stuff is crazy.
Yeah, and you know, if you kind of like to turn, even like before you sleep, because I'll like lay down on one side, and then when I'm getting really like sleepy, I'll turn to another side. And you're doing that with all these wires on and stuff. Yeah. But Press, this offshoot of that nasal thing, I've seen more and more at drugstores and recently at Lowe's, the self-oxygen mask thingies are coming back. You guys remember
I've seen those.
Used to have them here.
You're talking about the canister?
Like the canister. Right. Oxygen canisters are coming back. And
yeah, almost like a spray paint can that size.
But you can't wear that night, right? No. It's like you take a shot at
it. No, but I hadn't seen them in like forever and ever. And then now, over the last week, I've seen them in like three different stores.
Okay.
Bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know if they're making a comeback or what, but anyhow. All right, one more thing or...
One more thing to notice?
One more thing.
One less bell to answer?
I wanted to mention this. So, after trolling it for years for its speed and making memes on it, Netsians... are finding it hard to part ways with the oldest browser, the Internet Explorer, as its journey finally comes to an end. It is they wrap it up, Internet Explorer. I remember using that for ages.
Absolutely. I remember back when you... What browser are you using? And there'd be Netscape.
Yeah. I use that here.
Internet Explorer still?
Yeah, on my computer up here. It's, you know, I call it the Vox Pro computer.
Yeah.
But I have Internet Explorer, and if I hit that little button... It comes up, but I have this option to switch to Microsoft Edge. Is that where we're headed right now?
I use Safari, I use Brave, and I use Chrome.
Brave.
Brave is the one that really scopes out, gets rid of ads like crazy. Huh. Someone had recommended it to me, and it just... It's insane. If you visit a site in the, at least with me, when I visited in the Brave browser, stuff loads so freaking fast.
By the way, Casey, this is, it's wrapping up tomorrow.
Oh, crap. Okay.
June 15th. they're pulling the plug on the Surface.
All right, then I'm downloading this. I hope I didn't download any viruses into this thing.
You're doing it right now?
I'm doing it right now.
Go to knockedupandmilky.com.
Internet Explorer was released by Microsoft as an add-on to Windows 95 operating system in 1995, and 90s users spent most of their childhood surfing the Internet on their desktops thanks to this browser.
God.
It couldn't keep up with the technology and has been used to download Firefox and Google Chrome. And so Safari is what I mainly use now.
Safari is the default on a Mac. So between, you know, between them, I'll use them all for different things. Like when I'm going on sites that are just blasted with ads, I use the Brave browser.
Okay.
Which is very similar to Chrome.
Yeah. So now that it's being discontinued for good because of declining user base in the past several years. And
it's weird to think about that.
Internet browsers. Netizens don't seem ready to say goodbye just yet. That people are being sentimental about it.
Well, you get used to your you know, your deal.
Yeah.
You get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Sounds like Paul McCartney now.
Hang on a second. Mike wants to comment on Brave. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Gadzooks,
buddy. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so, Steve, how much do you love Brave?
It's
awesome?
It's awesome. And you know, on very difficult sites that honestly... That I like Google Chrome as well, but Brave I think is the best at just shearing off that crap. Sites that I had stopped visiting, Mike, you know, for like show prep or whatever, I use it now exclusively, and it gets me right through it quickly. And obviously, you like it as well.
Yeah, I've been using it about a year now, and it's great. And then when they introduced their own browser too, it was a game changer, man. Because you could check and see, like in the top right corner, there's the Brave Shield.
Yeah.
You could check and see just how many, like, just how many ads and, like, spam things are blocked.
Are being blocked.
It's truly, yeah, man.
And okay. So Safari. Right, so
did he mean there. It's got his own search engine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They have their own search engine and their own browser.
Yeah.
So
okay.
They are basically, like, two in one, right?
Yep.
Right. You got stuff like, what is it, DuckDuckGo, which claims to be private.
Yeah.
They actually use Google a lot for their searches. Like, the same pictures will come up.
Well, you know, Mike, what happens is you'll go to a site and it takes forever to load, and that's the frustrating. But I don't care.
Right.
You know, if the ads loaded fast, that'd be fine, and we just got through it, and you can advance a page. But I can't stand when it stops, and then this full-page ad pops up, and you just want to get to the information. I mean, like, I go to the Daily Mail a lot, which is, you know, a news aggregator, and it takes forever. On Brave, it just flies right through.
The other thing is, too, man, YouTube, watch YouTube on Brave. There are no ads.
Okay.
Oh, that's I didn't realize.
All
right, awesome.
At all.
All right, love it. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. So that's Brave.
Brave.
I'm going to, because I go on a lot of those aggregator sites for the Bizarre File and show prep and... I'm going to get that.
Don't
right
you
away.
Hate where you click on it and it starts to move and then it pauses for a second and then a big shot of a pastoral scene pops up with an old man talking to you about the new erectile dysfunction drug?
Well, that's when Kathy hears me curse in the audience. That's what I'm getting pissed off about.
Casey, Edge is the replacement for Internet Explorer. So what you have on that computer over there is what Internet Explorer used to be. And Steve, when you send me links for the Daily Mail, half the time I don't open them because I open them on Chrome. And it's not worth it. It takes so damn long. And so it could be something that's really interesting that I want to see.
Yeah.
But I can't stand that website anymore because of the number of pop-ups.
I hate the Daily Mail.
Yeah, it's awful.
And even the ads in between, like
it's
two sentences.
Terrible.
You read two sentences.
I can't do
and
it.
And then it's a whole slew
of
ads.
God.
Two more sentences.
Kathy, when it cuts the page in half with the top ad.
So annoying.
And you can't scroll again. So again, if you want a little bit of freedom from that, Brave is certainly an option.
All right.
Chrome does it as well. But of all of them, the one that I find the most effective, Brave.
Okay.
Now, mind you, I click on the ads and I purchase things.
Right.
So
sure. That's a problem, Gabby.
The ad says free shipping.
Yeah.
You're in.
No, it's
buy
a nice
just to buy it.
It's a nice dress. Looks pretty.
All right. That's all the noticing.
That's
we're done
it.
Here.
That's all
to see. Move along, folks.
Bigger lips. I've got them.
Yeah.
I ordered your lip plumping.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
we got to do that. All right. I want to take a break because we got some Bizarre File stories to share with you, and we want to make sure that you are here for that. So stay put. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang in there, friend.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we got some B-file to do. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you this morning by Pella Windows and Doors. Take advantage of Pella's summer sale today and get 40% off of installation or 3-year interest-free financing for a limited time. Visit PellaPhilly.com. Designed for today and whatever comes next. We'll start with a follow-up story. I've mentioned this a few times, but Nancy Crampton. Nancy Crampton.
I love the first one.
Yeah. Brophy, convicted May 25th for killing her husband at the Oregon Culinary Institute in 2018, was sentenced to life in prison on Monday. Brophy will be considered for parole after 25 years. She's a romance novelist who once wrote a blog titled How to Murder Your Husband.
Well, there you go.
That blog was not allowed into evidence during the trial. The sentencing included impact statements from Daniel Brophy's family members and a former Oregon Culinary Institute student. Crampton Brophy did not make a statement before the sentencing was imposed.
It is kind of amazing, and I don't understand the specifics, but when you write an article, basically, on how to kill your husband and then you're accused of it, that seems pertinent.
Yep. Crampton Brophy took the stand in her own defense during the trial that lasted 7 weeks. Though her defense attorney laid out the case that the prosecution had only circumstantial evidence to tie her to the killing, the jury found that the evidence connected her to the murder beyond a reasonable doubt. So she is going to jail for life on that. A wanted man climbed through a beauty salon's ceiling crawl space Saturday and dropped down shirtless into an ongoing church service in an effort to avoid arrest. It's a sign from God. Deputies were called to a shopping complex Saturday evening for a wanted person. The Emergency Communication Center had received a tip that Troy Longwell was at a beauty shop in the complex and had active warrants. The tip also indicated Longwell would run and hide. So deputies confirmed Longwell was wanted in 4 different jurisdictions and deputies surrounded the shopping complex. The business owner consented for deputies to check the beauty salon and the hide and seek began, where deputies quickly discovered a ceiling tile out of place and a human leg in the crawl space of the ceiling. Commands were given to surrender, but the leg disappeared in the crawl space toward a connected business. Deputies rushed into the church, occupying the next suite with a service in progress. Longwell, shirtless and out of breath, was detained in the sanctuary in the middle of the service. The investigation revealed Longwell had climbed into the ceiling.
Praise Jesus!
Deputies arrived at the business. He crawled through the ceiling and dropped into a room behind the sanctuary next door before walking into the active service. Additionally, a suspected controlled substance was found where he entered the ceiling.
Come from heaven with a message from God.
Longwell was served 7 active warrants when they got him.
You know what the Bible says.
Yeah. It was a devastating rumor that plagued one of the world's most celebrated alpinists for decades that he had left his less experienced brother to die on the mountainside in a selfish bid to reach the summit of Nanga Parbat in Pakistan back in 1970. While Italian Reinhold Messner, 77 years old, had always insisted his sibling was swept away by an avalanche during their descent from the 26,000-foot peak known today as Killer Mountain, an air of suspicion followed him throughout his career. Much of the controversy came after 2 climbers who were on the same expedition, Hans Saler and Max von Keinlen, both wrote books in the early 2000s which accused Reinhold of abandoning his brother, Gunther, after he became delirious and consumed by frostbite.
So this guy's lived with these accusations for decades.
Yeah, but the father of 4 now appears to have been vindicated once and for all after the boot of his tragic brother emerged from a glacier last week some 52 years later.
So the boot stuck up for him, right?
Yep, the discovery...
I'd just like a few words, please. he is not guilty. In fact, he did everything he could to find the rest of me.
The discovery of the leather footwear was made by locals at the foot of the mountain. And precisely it was where Reinhold had claimed that his brother was swept to his death. Bones belonging to Gunther, who was 23 when he died, were found in the same area back in 2005, along with his other boot, which still had remains of the foot inside.
Jeez.
Reinhold smuggled the bones and boot in 4 rucksacks out of Pakistan before having the big toe tested for DNA in Austria, which confirmed they belonged to his brother. The footwear is instantly identifiable by belonging to Gunther as they were custom made for him. And he said, "This is further proof that I did not abandon Gunther. People said that I left him to die, sacrificing him for my own ambition. I am at peace with myself, even if the accident changed my life.
See, a lot of people balked at the concept of all those big toe testing facilities they have now.
Right, yeah. Right. And now look
what
happens.
Saved his life. Now what?
The mountain never lies, he said, and there is and if there was still the need, the discovery of this boot definitively establishes the truth of my brother's death. Reinhold almost died himself when he climbed down from Nanga Parbat back in 1970, becoming lost for 6 days before losing several toes to frostbite.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing.
He penned a book in 2003 titled The Naked Mountain, in which he recalled how his brother became struck by altitude sickness before he became separated. And he claimed he desperately tried to find his sibling.
So it's known as Killer Mountain?
Yeah.
The deadliest mountain, Nick, I believe, is it still...
I don't know. I thought it was Everest. Deadliest Washington. Has to do with number of people who make it to the summit versus number of people who die.
Right. Yeah. So is it Everest?
Per capita, it might be Everest, but like Mount Washington in New Hampshire,
it's deadly.
Probably it's really deadly, but it's also really accessible.
Yeah.
And so more people will try it. Try that one.
Hmm.
All right, then one last story. This is under the title of Why Did This Internet User Pick Up a Lethal Animal? And apparently there are a couple examples of this, but this one is about a guy named Alex Reed, too, a popular TikTok user, nearly a million followers. He recently posted a video of himself prodding, picking up, and licking a strikingly colored blue jellyfish that lay on the beach.
Oh, no.
In the video, he says, look, guys, jellyfish is still here. I'm going to go get it. And this is how it appears. Yes, it is a jellyfish. And look at how big it is. It's still in motion. I'm going to lick it. Alexa, a makeup artist and self-proclaimed CEO of Eating Bugs, has no idea that his new jellyfish friend is a Portuguese man of war, or a bluebottle, as they call it, one of the ocean's most dangerous creatures. Portuguese man of wars are siphonophores, which are not a single animal but a colony of organisms that work together and are closely related to jellyfish. These floating terrors frequent Australia's beaches and are responsible for up to 10,000 stings to humans per year, and they leave nasty welts, and they have an intensely painful sting. But this guy picks it up, and he actually licks it. But he licked the top of it. He didn't lick the tentacles.
Which would have been unbelievable. Years ago, when we were on a cruise, we looked over the side. This was down in Bermuda. And Preston, the bell, the top of the Portuguese man of war, was like 6-7 feet. It was huge.
They get that big?
Yeah, they get that big.
I didn't know the Portuguese man of war.
Yeah, so they were enormous, and the tentacles can go down like 60, 70 feet.
Really far. Yeah. So. All right, there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Hey, by the way, we have a new Daily Rush video that's up and running. If you would like to see it, it's called Suck That Burrito.
Yeah.
And it says, when you put a big, fat, sloppy burrito in your mouth, you got to suck the juices out. Otherwise, it'll burst all over your face and chest.
It's true.
So if you want to get a first look at these videos, the Daily Rush videos, just follow us on Instagram. We'll send them to you. All right. It's that simple. Sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. You can learn more at Xfinity.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Don't forget, Glenn Howerton, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, joining us around 9 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Hey, friends, did you receive our Camp Out for Hunger Save the Date? I mean, we made a big announcement, and then we put it right there on the website for you. Well, just in case you missed it, Preston and Steve's 25th Camp Out for Hunger is set November 7th through the 11th, 2022. And hey, it's never too early to start collecting. You can find the list of Philabundance's most requested items, plus all of the outrageous photo galleries and videos of our guests from over the years at WMMR.com/campout.
We're going to get our buddy Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on in a little bit. And they're doing Always Sunny Live Saturday, September 18th at the Met in Philadelphia. So we'll talk to him in a bit. Kathy, I have an easy way for you to make
$2,000. Oh, okay.
$2,000.
All right,
imagine this. There's a pest control company called the Pest Informer, and they are offering $2,000 to families willing to let them unleash 100 cockroaches into their homes.
Oh, my God. No. No way.
I saw this pop up.
No.
They are conducting a study to try and help them find the newest ways to get rid of cockroaches.
Never.
It's an easy way to get rid of Kathy.
Would any of you ever do that?
Not ever.
Okay.
Not ever.
$2,000. Okay.
If my financial situation was a little more dour, I might consider that. Yeah. I mean, $2,000. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No.
No, I know. Okay.
Whatever.
If they had some kind of guarantee that they would eradicate them completely.
Okay, okay, then that's possible. But right now, from what the article suggests and what you said, is that they're trying out different methods.
Yeah, they're trying new ways. They right. want to try out, they want to find the newest ways to
what
get rid of
cockroaches. What if they don't work?
There's always, you know, standard tried and true ways. They're probably looking for ways that might be more efficient or more
right.
cost effective or something like that.
Maybe pet friendly?
I would assume that they could get rid of them if you really needed
to. You assume.
To,
so. Right. What if the cockroaches are paying them off?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. You're going to say you have a way of eradicating that, and then you put us in different homes, okay? Yeah. All right.
Now hear me out on this.
Hear me out.
$2,000 is not enough for this. You know, like what you should do is offer way more money so that you can maybe go on vacation while they're doing this thing and not be in the house.
I think what they're probably looking for is a real world scenario.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cockroaches are so pernicious and so. Now, I fortunately have had maybe one or two incidents in my life where there were, you know, it became a little bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, you know, when people have had and nightmare stories of, you know, they go and turn on the kitchen light and they all scatter. I would burn the house down.
Yeah. Who got outshot?
Yeah.
I'd be all right with it. It's fine. Instead of cockroaches, it's fine. Yeah, $2,000, I'd do it. I'll tell you what gets me, and we've talked about them before. They're called thousand leggers or house centipedes. I hate these things, and I've vented about how much I hate them on the air a couple
they're
of times.
They're horrible, and they're fast.
They are. They're super fast, but I've heard, Steve, that they actually serve a benefit, and they get rid of like some other pests that can do a little bit of damage to your house.
All right, find me valid information on that.
Yeah, well, an entomologist emailed me and said they're actually not the worst bugs on the planet for that very reason. And I was
that's
like,
faint
no,
praise.
I still hate them. Yeah. I don't want them in my house at all. They scare the bejesus out of me.
Oh, this thing by up here way, on the screen.
By the way, Steve, reading on some facts about this that Nick pulled up, they can run. They scurry up walls and ceilings or any surface at speeds up to 24 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know these freaking. You know, I always heard that these were called, and they're not, but I've heard these referred to as silverfish.
And they're not.
They're not. Right.
I thought the same thing.
Right.
I thought those were silverfish, but these things, are they have so many legs, it almost looks like hairs.
Yes.
Going I remember around their bodies.
Seeing, I think it was this bug in my kitty litter box one time, and it's
how skeeved, you doing? I'm at the beach.
It skeeved me out, man. It scared me.
He's got a little lawn chair, a little uh-huh. cocktail.
Waiting for the fudgy wedgie bar guy to come.
Little umbrella.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you for putting that little beach right.
As you look at this thing, Casey, where's the head on this thing? Oh, we have it.
Where the antennae right. are.
Yeah. Oh, the main. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I remember living in less than stellar apartment situations and finding roaches and that being just a little slice of heaven.
You ever have one in the bed or running around the ceiling over your bed?
No, not that.
So when you there's always a liability if you live you have an apartment above a restaurant or anywhere where there's food or stuff moving in and out. Fortunately, we lived sort of adjacent. We were above a row of businesses. Never had that issue, but a friend of mine in, you know, North Port, Long Island, Kathy, so he lived above a restaurant and constantly he was besieged by cockroaches.
Disgusting. This is a little bit different, but I got to tell you guys the story. My aunt and uncle have a house in New Mexico, and she woke up one morning and her whole one side was completely numb, and she looked over and there was a scorpion in the bed.
Oh my God. I hate scorpions.
It stung really her? Drunk.
It stung her, and the whole side of her body was numb from it.
Whole side of her body?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Dude, Steve, so you and I love that, and I haven't watched in a long time, but that Hawaii house hunting
love it.
Shows.
Love it.
One of the things that you don't find out about if you have this fantasy of living in Hawaii is they have some pretty nasty bugs, those giant centipedes.
Those suckers are scary as F.
Oh, my God. And they're like, they're just running around your yard. They'll get in your house and stuff.
They'll get in your head.
Yeah.
They'll burrow through your skull. Preston, so what's the difference? You're down in Florida a fair amount. Between a regular standard cockroach and a palmetto bug.
Palmetto bugs, yeah.
Well,
I haven't seen that many
fly?
Of those. They're bigger. I think they can fly. I think they're a little bit bigger, Steve. And they... Yeah, I'd have to see a picture one to remind me. Nick, see if you can look up palmetto bugs, because those are fairly common. And I lived in...
Does your mom deal with cockroach issues
the Carolinas? No, not okay. really. Actually, lizards, they're running around everywhere. And I don't mind that at all. Hang on, we have a caller about palmetto bugs, actually. We have Michelle on line. Hey, Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, it's Lily.
It's what?
Michelle Lily.
Hi. Lily.
The house cleaning lady?
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God, that Michelle. We just, we had a lengthy conversation with you the other day.
Yes, last week or the week before. Okay, Steve, I hope you got my card. I sent Steve.
Is that you that sent the Batman card?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
He's right here.
He's looking
right in front of me, yes. Thank you so much. It was very sweet.
Oh, great, great. So anyway, I used to live in Miami when I was 18, 22. And, I mean, I ran an apartment and there'd be roaches all in the cabinets all the time and you couldn't get rid of them. And then there'd be palmetto bugs. And then I moved to Coral Gables in the house. And one time I was sleeping and a palmetto bug, I mean, they're like 2 inches long or more, walked right over my eye.
Are they bigger than cockroaches in general?
Well, what they are down there, they're more red. Like, down here in, like, Philly, they're, like, black.
Yeah.
Down there, they're more redder.
Okay.
The roaches, and they're a little smaller. They're not big as the cockroaches here, but the palmetto bugs, they fly.
Okay, so that's the difference. They do fly. All right. Okay.
So, Michelle, obviously you've done a lot of house cleaning over the years. What's, the grossest pest you found while cleaning a home?
Ooh.
Oh, I have never found a gross pest because I mostly clean big million-dollar homes.
Okay, which are probably taken care of, right?
And even the smaller houses, you know, I'm clean. I don't clean dirt balls.
Yes.
No?
No.
All right.
Hey, how'd you're
a dirt ball. I won't work for you.
How'd the email leads go?
I got one because I messed up emailing that Friday. I did it right away, and I'm not great at emailing. Yeah. But then I hooked up with Nick, and I got one girl right away.
Yeah.
And I emailed her everything, and she hasn't even got back to me, but that was about it.
Well, you got to make sure your contact information back is correct.
Yeah,
I know it is because I only have my one phone here, and then I have my email.
All right, well, keep in touch with me, okay, because I got a bunch for you.
Nick?
Yes,
Nick, I thought you were Dr. Mike. Your voice changed.
Yeah, he actually does a show on the weekends, An Evening with Dr. Mike, where it's not Dr. Mike, but you'll believe it is.
Don't come to me for medical advice.
Can I just say one thing, Kathy?
Yeah.
My third time donate my hair, I had Jason at David Arnold, the owner.
Oh, yeah.
The best haircut. My hair is 13 inches long. I only gained 12 because I don't like my next showing. It looks like I have a perm. I have a shaggy perm. I've been carrying around this picture from Cosmopolitan since 1978 for the shag that I wear. And he did it.
Oh, great. Yes, they are wonderful.
David Arnold, you're talking about?
Yes.
David Arnold, Jason the owner. I love it. It already grew. It's 5 weeks and my hair, like my bangs are all on my face and everything.
Hang on a second, Michelle. So you have a picture that you got in a Cosmopolitan magazine in 1978, and you've held on to it all this time.
I even brought it there and showed him because the last two times I donate my hair, the girls never cut it that way.
And this is the way you prefer to have it?
This is the way I prefer. And here's the great thing. I got such good hair, natural, that when I sleep, like I wake up right now, if you saw the curls, you would think like I got a perm overnight. I just wake up and shake my head.
You have like a natural perm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. You can just shake your head.
Yeah, I'm lucky, lucky, lucky. But, Steve, when did you get the card? Because I was so worried about getting that card to you.
It came on, I think it was it Tuesday or Monday?
No, it couldn't have came. Yeah, it either came this week because I wanted to get it Tuesday. I didn't get to the store Wednesday. And what happened? How did you like the confetti?
I love the confetti. I was able to keep it in the card.
and so everything was good. I was doing this in my truck. I actually went to the post office, and after I closed it with the scratch off, I said, damn, I forgot to put the confetti in. I opened it up and put it back in.
It's perfect. I couldn't ask for a better card, so thank you for taking it.
I already looked at it, and I almost left the store, and that was the last one. I said, great.
It's a classic Batman, so I really appreciate it.
And I love blueberry, and that bread pudding sounds awesome.
It's all gone now.
Blueberry bread.
Next year, you'll have to have a piece.
Hey, Michelle, do you cook? Is anything?
Yeah, I cook everything homemade. Last night I made stuffed chicken, cord and blue thighs. I don't use canned broth. I make my own broth.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right.
Nice. And you guys are talking about salad. You forgot coleslaw.
Coleslaw. Do you consider coleslaw a salad?
No, it's like its own thing.
Well, that goes with macaroni and potato.
It's one of those standard things because we had a, if those of you who weren't tuning in with us yesterday, we were ranking salads at their best, and that will go hand in hand with most things at a picnic or a barbecue.
Right.
But I wouldn't call it a salad.
We were eating all weekend because I made a rib roast. I roasted a rib roast on a rotisserie.
Mm. Oh. Rotisserie. I will tell you this. I think Casey's right in that coleslaw. I consider a thing unto itself, and
it's
not
its
so
own
much a salad.
Yeah, it's
almost like a condiment.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's one other thing, Kathy. Cucumber salad with sour cream. I make cucumber salad on the weekend. Sour cream because we stayed home for once in 2 months.
Why just on the weekend? Why not during the week?
Well, I do it during the week, but I was home this week and I happened to get a cucumber.
Okay,
so
sure.
I have to plan. I'm fanatic about cooking. Like yesterday, I had mashed potatoes left over. I made fried potato cakes.
Here's a deal. Ooh.
Lackeys, right? Yeah. That's what they call them.
Sounds like great.
Lackeys.
Right in a frying pan with leftover fat from the chicken.
Oh, see, we're hearing all this great food, and we need to get some more sample. I mean,
I'll tell you, I'm a cook. I cook everything. I love it. I go crazy. It's like a drug for me.
Have you ever been hired as a cook at a house that you were?
Yeah, when I called you last time, the lawyers with the boogie bags. I was their housekeeper for 10 years, and I cooked the recipes out of Bon Appetit and Food and Wine. So I would prepare 3 meals in between cooking. I was there 6 hours, 2 days a week. And I would prepare meals so when she came home from being a lawyer, she could just heat it up.
Well, you're a hard-working woman.
That you are. Right. And Michelle's looking for work.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking for work, and I love taking care of kids and but I don't take them home with me.
No.
Okay. All right. You don't take them home.
Take the cockroaches home.
Yeah. Casey?
Our word of the week prize is a dinner for 10 at Nebraska. And one of these days, I want to have a dinner for 10 with just with Michelle and Gary and Lou and the moth lady. So that's 4. But I would love
the
to
moth.
Just...
Oh, yeah. The moth lady. Yeah, yeah. Is she the one that now has the accent because of
she lost her head injury?
Yeah. Lost her memory? Yeah, that's right. We need to get a few other people on board for that dinner.
All right, Cole, you guys rock. You're the best. Love talking to you. I'll try not to call in any time.
No, you're always welcome, Michelle. We love you.
Call when you want.
We'll talk soon.
I set my alarm. I was up at 4:30 with my husband every day, and I try to go back, and I made sure I woke up at 6 to hear, because I never heard Steve about the court.
Oh, well, there you go. We appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you, Michelle. Nice to talk
to you.
And
happy anniversary to you. I saw someone said it to you, Preston, named Rochelle, and he wrote Rachel instead of Rochelle.
It happens all the time. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
That's cool, because I was Rochelle in the paper at a horseshoe, Devin Horse Show, back when I was a kid.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I was one of the horses? A wooden horse. They took my picture.
Oh, a wooden horse. Okay.
A wooden horse. And they called you Rochelle?
They called me Rochelle instead of Michelle. I still have the paper of it.
Oh, man.
So that's cool, but you guys are cool. I know you got other people talking.
But you were great.
We'll spend time with you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too, Michelle.
Thank you so much again for the card.
All right, bye-bye. Wow.
Chuck just said, I want Michelle and Lou to do this show when you guys are on vacation. Okay. No more best of.
And we'll hand out loads of coleslaw. All right, we were talking about roaches and bugs.
Were we?
Yes, there's apparently this pest company called Pest Informer. They're conducting a study trying to help them find the newest ways to get rid of cockroaches. And they're offering, listen to this, $2,000 to families willing to let them unleash 100 cockroaches into their home. They're looking for 5 to 7 household owners for the experiment, and it'll last about 30 days.
30 days.
Nope. You have to be in the continental U.S., and you must not try any additional cockroach treatments during the duration of the study. They said that the all tested cockroach treatments will be family and pet safe.
That's actually interesting. But the question also, to Casey's point, I think you might have brought up a case, can you leave for like 2 weeks? Do they want an actual practical living there? Yeah.
Hang on. I know we got to wrap up, but let me go to Kathy real quick here. Hey, Kathy, good morning. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
She's hiring Michelle.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, she was talking about a centipede who bit a woman on the bus in Hawaii who started bleeding.
Oh, my God. One of those freaking centipedes.
Oh, my God.
They suck.
Hang on. All right. Tracy was an exterminator. So she's got a story. Okay. Or he. I'm not sure. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Tracy. So you worked as an exterminator?
I did. I was working as an exterminator in downtown Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah. And you had some horrific encounter.
Oh, it's like the worst cockroach encounter. Anyway, so I was at a elderly woman's townhome, and she had told me that she wanted us to go downstairs and take care of a few things. She said she hadn't been down there for a while. She's a bit of a hoarder, so I, you know, there's a lot of stuff everywhere.
Right.
So I went downstairs in the basement, started doing my normal, you know, looking around, and I kept hearing what I thought was water dripping, water running. So I thought maybe she had a leak. So I went around with the flashlight looking for the leak, and I come across the washer and dryer where they kind of connect, and from the ceiling down, I shine my flashlight up there, and there were so many cockroaches. That was the sound that of them running on each other, the sound of the running water. Was actually
it sounded like running water. There were so many.
It was like it's dripping. You know, it was the freakiest damn thing I've ever seen.
Tracy, give us an estimate of, if you can even guess, how many cockroaches you were looking at.
Well, if you can imagine, like, the pipes that come down, like waterline pipes,
yeah.
I don't know how big they are. What, about 4 inches? So there was enough of them to cover the top of this pipe, and we're like dropping down from it. So there was hundreds of cockroaches. And
that sounds like your dream basement, Kathy.
Oh my God.
Messed up.
The poor lady, I went upstairs and I told her, I'm like, you know, I think you have a cockroach problem down there. And she's like, oh no, I don't have any cockroaches. And I'm like looking around, I just like picked up a few things like around when I'm like leaving the place.
Jeez. It's horrible. That's
crazy.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate it. Wow.
That would have been
it. Easy. $2,000.
Yeah.
You just want to let 100 cockroaches run around your house, and you can get that. So
not going to happen.
Touch with Pest Informer. All right. We have to take a break. I know, because we have Glenn Howerton, who's coming up next from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Dennis. So we'll come back. We will chat with him in a moment or two, and a few other things to get to. Stay there. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, gang, time's running out to sign up for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
It's happening on the 24th at two convenient locations.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks.
And the Event Center inside Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and on-site refreshments, including Everfresh juice.
Plus a reusable tote bag from our friends at Window Nation.
And for the first time, we'll be doing our show live from Oaks, while Brent, Jackie, and Sarah will check in live from Live Casino.
As for Pierre, he'll be somewhere, we're sure.
Oh, dear. The I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, benefiting the American Red Cross.
Make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Sponsored by Recovery Centers of America. For addiction and mental health treatment, call 1-800-RECOVERY.
From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first. We're still on standby right now?
Yeah, just waiting to hear from Glenn. I mean, I've heard from him. He's just running like a minute behind, so he should be ready to go very soon.
We'll hang in there. You guys give me the sign when he's up and ready to go. But in the meantime, we do have something that we can cover. Casey and Marissa had a charity event yesterday. It sounded like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like it went really, really well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Case, what was the story? What were you guys doing?
So Marissa and I had played in a charity flag football softball game. And this is Marissa's probably second or third year that she's played in it. It's for NRG.
So it's two separate games where you weren't playing football and softball at the same time.
No. There were two separate, I don't even know what you mean by that.
You said football, softball game.
Did I say football? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did. I was a little confused by that.
Sorry. I was, I got distracted. Flag football. Okay. We played a flag football game. What the hell am I talking about?
He did say that, right? Football, softball.
I heard softball.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my God. My bad. So, Marissa played in the last couple of years. This was my first year. I saw Marissa, like, footage from her playing a couple of, years ago, and I mean, they play at like the Eagles practice facility.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So they, you know, it was either going to be at the Link or in the NovaCare complex inside the bubble. So I was invited. Dave and, from NRG invited me out to play this year. And there were four teams, and each team played for their own charity. And we were on the Philabundance team. So we were on the Philabundance team, and you play one game. The other two teams play another game, and then the winner of those games play against each other in the championship, and we won the championship.
You won the championship?
We won the championship, yes.
That's awesome. Wow. Congratulations.
So, as a result, Philabundance ended up getting an $11,000 check. We won all that money for Philabundance, which was really, really great.
That's excellent.
Marissa had an interception. She kicked ass.
Jervis, by the way, says hi.
Jervis from Survivor.
Jervis from Survivor.
Year one.
Yeah, so.
You must have been freaking out when Marissa made an interception, dude. That itty-bitty thing over there catching a ball and running back.
Well, it was huge because we had, I guess, just lost possession ourselves. And that was, I believe, Marissa, in the championship game. So it was really, really important. It was a pivotal moment in our quest to win the championship. And so, yeah, and, it, you know, this ball just sort of, like, ended up, like, bouncing, careening off of somebody else, and it, like, ended up in her arms. And
nice.
She intercepted the ball, and, you know, we ended up taking the whole thing, man.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's
11
huge,
grand
dude.
Is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. No, not at all.
All right, well, we can cover some more of this later.
Yeah, sure,
if there are other details we need to hit.
Yes.
Because our guest is ready to go.
Yeah.
And we're excited about this. And if you're good, you might have a chance to win some tickets to this by the time we get to this interview, to the end of it anyhow. So we made the announcement yesterday. Sunday, September 18th at the Met will be a special Always Sunny podcast live taking place. And we're very excited this morning to have a gentleman that we've talked to on many occasions. We love him to death. Please welcome from It's Always Sunny, Mr. Glenn Howard.
Yeah!
Oh, man. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again, sir. Welcome back to the airways of Philadelphia.
Thanks for always having me. Appreciate it. How are you guys?
We're good, man. So listen, reading about, you know, you guys coming to town and doing the podcast, I did have a question about this, about how this is going to work in front of a live audience, because I've watched the videos of the podcast, and it's just, you know, the three of you, Charlie and Rob, and then sometimes a few guests that come along. But in front of a live audience, how is that dynamic going to be a little bit different? Are you going to be talking to any of the audience members? Or do you have any idea how it's going to play out with the group in front of you?
Everything's just going to be bigger. You know,
bigger.
It's going to make it really broad.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. these will be our first live podcast shows, so I'm not entirely certain how it's going to go.
Well,
I don't know.
There have been a few, you know, Kevin Smith has taken his show to the stage, and a few other people have done it with great success. Is there going to be any incorporation? Perhaps incorporate some multimedia, because you do spend a lot of the time talking about episodes and waxing nostalgic and talking about encounters and things that happen. That might be a good opportunity. But you guys, I think it'll almost play like a theater presentation. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing. Are there any nerves involved with this? Because you guys are pros, seasoned pros, but this is something new. Is there a little bit of trepidation, I should say?
Oh, nerves. No, not at all. It's a very, you know, our podcast is such that, you know, we try to keep it very authentic, very natural. We're not really putting on a show. I mean, when you watch the podcast and you see us, the three of us talking, the
right.
four of us talking, because Megan's such a big part of it now too. That's really how we are when we're in a room with each other. I sometimes forget actually when we're doing the podcast that we're doing the podcast. It's exactly the way we are when we're in the same room with each other. But I am excited about the live show because we do have a couple of pretty big surprises in store for people who come see us live. Yeah. So there will be some features, let me say, I'll keep it kind of vague for now, that will be a part of the live taping that will be unique to the live shows.
Love that.
Glenn, I guess I realized that the podcast could work because I was a fan of, and am a fan of, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey do an Office podcast, and it's called The Office Ladies. And basically, they just go back and they rewatch episodes that they hadn't seen since the episodes debuted. And so when you guys are doing this with Sunny, I'm sure that it's new for you guys, even though you've done it, you've been on the screen, you know what the lines are, but like looking back on stuff that happened 15, 14, 13 years ago, is it surreal? Is it bizarre? Like, how does it hit you?
You know, it's a little different from me than I think it is for maybe Rob and Charlie, only because I took a step away from the writer's room for a couple of years. And when I came back, I decided to watch all the episodes again, just to remind myself of all the mythology. So I'm actually watching it back through for the second time. But, you know, we've always tried to create a show that had tremendous rewatch value so that you could discover new things, new jokes, new layers to the episodes that you didn't see the first even two or three times you watched it. You know, and I'm still, even though I've seen them before, I yeah, there are definitely moments that surprise me, that still catch me, that it also just, it's such a stark reminder of how different I feel like I was 15 years ago.
It's a shocking thing.
I still find of it.
When you see yourself, we hear ourselves. Like we played audio from the first time we appeared on WMMR when the morning show kicked in. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's like, who is that
sound
person?
Totally different.
Who are we?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah. You look, all of a sudden you also realize how much you've aged. yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's great to watch me. You know, it's like watching us do jokes that I wouldn't even necessarily make now. And not because they're offensive, but because just I my sense of humor has altered and changed over the years. And yet I still find those old episodes really funny and fun to watch.
Do you find that you have some of you have selective memory that you, I mean, because you've been at it for so long together that you will remember some behind the scenes events that, no, I don't remember it that way.
Oh, yeah. That I feel like that's happening constantly on the show where we're talking about something that happened and we all three remember it completely differently. But one of the things I also love about the podcast that's so fun about it is that I feel like we barely talk about the episodes at all. It's supposed to be a rewatch, but I feel like 75% of the time we're just talking about, you know, how bad each other's parking is or weird eating habits or
that's
know,
true.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, there are other things involved with the episodes that make it a lot of fun. But it is kind of interesting when you stop and think about, you know, you have this show, which is run, you know, concurrently with your lives and other successes that you've been having as well. But it's sort of a journal of where you were at a certain point in time. I wonder, Glenn, do you have difficulty watching yourself? Are you the kind of guy who, when you're in a movie, go watch the dailies or whatever? Or is it something that you sort of demur from? Where do you sit with that?
It depends on the thing. It depends on how I can usually feel it when I'm doing something that I'm like, this is good.
Yeah.
This is working. but no, I'm not. but like, well, okay. So I'm shooting a movie right now in Ontario, and it's a drama. And there are aspects of it that are funny, but you know, what I've been saying to people that are like, how's it going? I'm like, I think it's going well, but it's hard for me to say because the usual markers that I'm used to aren't there. You know, I'm used to if I do something and people are laughing, I'm like, okay, I know it worked because the primary goal was to be funny. But with this, it's not. The primary goal is not to be funny. And so I am finding myself a little bit, you know, kind of floating out there, feeling slightly insecure, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just trusting that the director knows what he's doing. But right. But no, to answer your the short answer to your question is I love watching myself.
There you go. I appreciate the candor.
Oh, that's great, Glenn.
Glenn, when It's Always Sunny debuted, I became a fan. And I think all of us in the room were like, oh, this is a cool show that's set in Philly. And then we realized it's a really funny show. It didn't matter where it was set, and we became fans of you guys, and fortunately have been friends with you for a really long time as well. But I didn't realize as a group how talented you all were until the Nightman Cometh performance on stage. The live performance to me solidified that these guys actually have skill beyond just being funny on a sitcom. Was that, up until that point, the most daunting thing you'd ever done? Because that took, like, doing that show out in front of an audience on stage, to me, is different than doing a sitcom just from a novice perspective, much more challenging.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I come from theater. My whole background was theater. Charlie's whole background was theater. Danny's background is theater. Caitlin's background is theater. I don't think Rob did much theater.
He did in high school, as a matter of fact.
Did he do high school theater? I got to ask him about that.
Yeah, he did. He went to St. Joe's Prep here, and he did theater. Because I knew some people that worked at the high school at the time. He wasn't like a lead.
I think he did a side character. Yeah.
He was a man of Camelot. He wasn't Lancelot or anything like that, you know?
Right. Yeah, spearholder number four.
He actually didn't even live in Camelot. He lived in a town outside of Camelot.
Right, they would bring him in for one-liners.
No, it was actually, I mean, it was surprisingly comfortable. And then, and especially because, you know, we would drink a lot beforehand.
Right.
you know, just to numb the fear. I just mostly remember it just being so fun because, I mean, the first shows we ever did at the Troubadour, you know, when people started singing along and we realized that everyone knew the episode almost as well as we did, all of a sudden it just felt like, this is a little cliche, but it felt like we were home. It felt like we were amongst friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a quote in the announcement that came out yesterday, but it really is true that I really miss being in the same room as fans of the show. You know, we used to do Comic-Con in San Diego all the time, and we'd get in a room of 6,000 fans. And, you know, it really is electric. It's so gratifying to put your heart and soul into something and work so hard on something to make it really good. And then to have, be surrounded by a bunch of people that really appreciate your work. It's it feels like a community.
What I think is impressive, and again, I said it earlier, I've told you many times, in addition to watching It's Always Sunny over and over, and I was a big fan of AP Bio as well, and in general, but I love outtakes, I love alternative takes, and I always spend time watching the outtakes every week at some level or another. You appreciate also what ends up in the episode and the writing, and specifically you guys, the ability to write dumb in a smart way is what amazes me. For example, when Charlie tries to write, a political speech for you, or you're explaining to him why humans should not be eating cat food, all of these things written in that way, it's such a precise level of writing that you know, the fact that you guys synergize so well and can pick up on that nuance, you know, that's why I think the podcast works the way it does. You guys have almost a second track, a second channel where you're all operating on, and you get it. You get each other instantly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think with the podcast especially, you really start to see how our minds work, and how episodes get formulated, because it really is a lot of times just all of us hanging out. And also we have a writer's room, obviously. So they're a big part of it too, but it's this brain trust you never know what's going to hit. It's so funny. I mean, Megan was telling a story on the podcast the other day. She was like, you know, that we had left them in the room to like do some stuff because we were rewriting an episode, the three of us. And so the writers were all off on their own, like, you know, working on a story. And we came back and they pitched this stuff and we're like, it's so broad. That's too broad. Like, that's too wacky. It's too, you know, whatever. And we went away again and we came back and Megan started pitching us a very grounded episode and it all sounded really funny. But then she was like, okay, but wait, there is a part that where it gets a little crazy, and I hesitate to pitch this to you guys, but at a certain point, you guys replace D with a monkey. And she was fully expecting us to, be like, well, that's just insane. But instead, all three of us, and this is the thing that you're talking about, all three of us immediately were like, okay, talk to us about the monkey. and then eventually, basically, the entire episode became about the monkey. It really is fun. There's a place where our minds meet, where, you know, it just, we key in on something, and we've learned to trust over the years that if all three of us and certainly some of our head writers like Megan and you know, David Hornsby and Rob Rozelle, if they're all keyed in on the same thing, then we know we've hit something. But I mean, you know, that's why dumb stuff like, I can't remember, somebody was telling a story about somebody's cat getting stuck in a wall once, and we were like, well, that's going in.
That's
hilarious.
Maybe Glenn, you guys, I'm going to throw this idea to you, because here's an idea that Steve has had for a decade or more that we've never been able to pull off on the show. And I'll just throw it over to you. And if you can use it, go ahead and use it. But Steve has always wanted to administer a rectal thermometer that is on the end of a forklift and being able to actually, now if you can find a way to make that happen,
precision,
on the show, precision, yeah, right. Use so, of a forklift to insert a rectal thermometer. We now place it in your hands because we can't do it.
Well, let me see. During the Camp Out for Hunger, we would actually run the heavy equipment, and I became so good at it because essentially the forklift we had was a game controller, the X and Y axis, and I was very precise. And so we'd originally pitched this to Bill, you know, the program director, as something that we would like to do. It turns out that's considered rape. So we really have not.
If there's consent.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah, there's consent. Right.
I thought you guys were going to talk about the guacamole in a corpse mouth.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going to say, Preston.
At a funeral.
At a funeral.
And they have it as their mouth open and you can dip and get guacamole.
Right.
If you're hungry.
Yeah. Let the dead person be of use one last time.
One more time. You know, there's something, and you brought it up, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Harry Potter reunion, and you talk about the camaraderie you have and the understanding you have with the rest of the cast members, and Preston and I and everyone who watched the Harry Potter thing keyed right in on it. Throughout the years we've been doing this show, we just have experiences that are unique.
It's unique to us. Like, no one has this relationship. We have our spouses and our friends outside of this, but no one in the world has the shared experience that we do, and we do it every day, and we've been doing it for years and years and years, and it's just something that ties us together and always will.
Don't you get it from these guys as well? When we see you, like with the podcast, or when you're together, we sense that immediately. That's what you have.
Yeah, it's something that you can't really understand unless you've had a situation like that. But in a way, we've been through it together, as I'm sure you guys have too, right? I'm sure you don't always get along. I'm sure you have creative arguments, and that for us, that only deepens the relationship. It's never fractured our relationships. It's only ever deepened them. And it's hard to describe, you know, and it is strange because, and you guys can relate to this too, you know, because we've been doing the show in some form or another since 2003. That was when we shot the home movie.
Wow.
I mean, we've been doing this for almost 19 years together in some form or another.
Yeah.
Longer than I've done anything. Ever.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when we sit in this room together, there's this bizarre kind of bubble that happens. It's our world. There are thousands of people that are a part of this world too, but this little bubble, we're kind of protected in here, and it's kind of a sacred little relationship. It's a neat thing to have. It's very special.
Right, and it all culminates in conversations about driving forklifts with thermometers directly into someone's.
We don't say everybody can get it.
Well, we never lose sight of the art.
That's right.
Yeah, Glenn. There are high points and there are low points and everything in between. I follow you on Instagram, and I wanted to ask you about this connection that you have with Kings of Leon and Pearl Jam. The night before, I think you're in Philly. You're doing a show. Is it in Louisville? And those bands are a part of that festival? What's going on with that?
So Bourbon and Beyond is a whiskey and music festival in Louisville, Kentucky. And this goes into, we've got another announcement on the horizon. Very, very excited about. It's going to tie into the live shows and the Bourbon and Beyond Festival and all that. We haven't announced it yet, so I can't, you know, I can just tease it. But it will make even more sense eventually. But we've been friends with the Kings for a very long time, just mutual fans. I've loved their music for a very long time. And we came to learn that they were big fans of the show. So, you know, I kind of got to know those guys, and we've now been friends for almost 12, 13 years, something like that.
That's crazy.
I love those guys.
It's interesting because, you know, when the show first came out, like, it was, all right, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It was something that was ours. It belonged to the city of Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. And then, without even realizing, we had to share this with the rest of the world and, you know, the rest of the country. And so I had a really interesting thing that happened to me a couple of summers ago. I was out touring like Grand Canyon, Zion, Bryce, and we hired a tour guide, and it was this guy named Nick, who is a Mormon who lives in Southern Utah. And he is a huge fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And so and he knows everything. And I told him that I work with the guys that were in the, jabroni, cool word.
Yeah.
What was it? And
Max Big Break was
Max
the name
Big
of
Break. That was. Yeah. And, but episode, that's the thing. He knows this show so well that I started describing the episode, and he named the title of the episode to me. Like, he knows all of that stuff. And I was like, damn, man, we're sharing this. So I wonder if this has had like a nice positive effect on, you know, how people feel about the city of Philadelphia.
It's one of the few things you have going for us.
Yeah. Because Philly gets a bad rap, but then, you know, something like this comes out.
You got the Rocky statue.
Well, right now, so, you know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when I run into people and they tell me about their experiences in Philly, you know, people are, and I tell them, I'm not from Philly, so you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But almost everybody to a person is like, man, I went to Philly and I didn't know what to expect. But, you know, I loved it. I thought it's an amazing restaurant and all this kind of stuff. You know, I've almost never talked to anybody who's had a bad experience in Philly. People seem to love it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, so right now, Chad Ochocinco, I don't know if you're a football fan or not, but Chad Ochocinco, for some reason, is living in Philadelphia until August. And so he's been all over Twitter for the last couple of weeks. And he's like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. He's like, Philadelphia is awesome. He's like, I'm thinking about moving here. He absolutely loves it here. People don't want to hear that, right? You know, people don't want, they just want to think that Philadelphia is a pit, but it's not, you know?
No, it's a beautiful city. It's a great city. And you know, to talk to your earlier point, I mean, that is the most gratifying thing about having worked on the show for this many years, and is hearing people are constantly, more than anything else, people constantly tell me stories about how the show brought them together with other friends.
Yeah.
It was the unifying thing. It was something that they, you know, they met somebody at a party or whatever, and somehow they started talking about an episode of Sunny, and they both realized they were huge Sunny fans, and then they became like super close friends. And then, you know, I mean, I can't tell you the number of people I've heard where it's like, it's how they met their spouse.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. You know, but I've also had people tell me that they watch the show as they're falling asleep at night.
There's a balance, a yin and yang.
I mean, which is kind of good, but yeah. I guess, but
I wanted to ask you because, you know, you mentioned you're working on a movie right now. And again, it seems to be going well. And are you in Canada right now, did you say? Or where are
Ontario.
You?
Ontario.
Ontario? Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention.
Oh, my God. You got the...
Glenn just took his hat off. He has... Now, we either call this the... what do we call this, Casey? The Dr. Phil.
The dad from
Mork and Mindy haircut.
Sure.
Which
I've done
is
that.
The male pattern baldness. Casey made that cut as a Christmas gift to me one time. He got his hair cut like that. It's still contended. It was one of the greatest Christmas gifts I've ever received. What is the story with that, Glenn?
well, the movie that I'm doing, I'm playing a real guy, and the real guy was bald. So, you know, I had a conversation with the hair and makeup people, and I was like, you know, look, what's going to look the best at the end of the day, putting on a bald cap with a hairpiece or me shaving it? And they were like, you
shave out on that one. You can't say that.
Sorry.
Mr. Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it doesn't suit you. So I guess you're good the other way. But I'm sure
mind it so much.
If you were to shave your head completely, the head structure, you're fine. You're good to go.
I think you could go bald. No problem. Hey, I wanted to ask this, Glenn, because I was reading. I didn't know this about you, but cycling is a big part of your life, meaning a bicycle. And do you travel with your bike? Do you get out and do it that often?
Wait a minute. Where did you read about this?
It says here, Glenn has posted about cycling, saying that his bike is his motorcycle. A little bit of information.
Oh. Yeah. No, I am not an avid cyclist.
Okay.
But, you know, look, I live in
I live in Venice, California. So, you know, I when I'm just, you know, tooling around Venice, I just use my bike.
But I thought
I'm
you
not,
did.
I'm not out there. I'm not one of those guys out there in the tight spandex outfit.
Okay. No?
Casey does that. Casey will get out and ride 30, 40 miles, 50 miles even. I was going to hook you guys up together and have him show you the ropes around here. But
hit the open road, but I guess not.
No. Well, Glenn is more of a Three's Company cyclist.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more like how can I get a drink holder that can hold my beer?
Right,
and keep it stable while I'm riding my bike.
Yeah, that seems more sane.
You can ride with me then.
Hey, when you are here for the podcast, you know, I'm assuming maybe Rob will stick around for a day or two, spend some time with family. Are you going to be in and out? Do you know as of now?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll see, but I'd like to stick around for a little while if you guys will have me.
Well, I'm sure you're going to want to enter some cycling races. So, now that we know how important that is to your life. It's okay. We had an author on the show one time, and so we got this, you know, you do your research and then other information comes your way. And they had confused the author with the guy who had some of the interns who had done some of the prep for us with a guy who had meddled in taekwondo. And we're looking at this guy who's sitting at the table.
It was, like, yeah, Steve Lopez, the writer. Yeah,
it's and, like,
yeah.
There's no way this guy is a taekwondo master. But
there was a taekwondo master with the same name. There were two Steve Lopez's out there. One of them had done a medal in taekwondo. One of them is a prolific writer. So you can understand how the mistake would happen.
So it happens.
Yeah, you can't really base it on somebody's body type, though. I mean, you know, I've met some extraordinary martial artists that are pretty out of shape, or they seem like they're out of shape, and then you touch that big round belly, and it's like a big round belly that's like hard as a rock. I'm not sure how that works, like anatomically.
I think they do it on
how
purpose.
How does that work? Like, you guys ever seen that?
Yeah, well, Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal is a big blob of crap.
Wow.
And he's an Aikido master.
Well,
so go figure.
Listen, we are going to remind people about, obviously, the podcast because the tickets are going on sale Friday. And you can go to themetphilly.com or WMMR.com to get all the information. In fact, we're going to be having a pre-sale on Thursday, and there's a chance for you to win tickets online. But I would like to give away a pair of tickets now to this event.
And the venue is perfect.
Yeah, it's at the Met. So the Always Sunny podcast is going to be on Sunday, September 18th. And we'll take caller 18. Why not? 215-263-WMMR. We'll give away some more throughout the rest of the week, which is cool. But Glenn, it's always great to catch up with you. And it'll be great to see you in person when you guys are in town. So, you know, hang in there in the meantime while you're filming. And we will see you when you get here. All right, man?
Thank you. It's always great to hang out with you guys.
Excellent. All right. Take care. Yeah. Glenn Howerton, guys. Yeah. The Always Sunny podcast. They're doing it live. He's going to be with Charlie and Rob. And I'm guessing maybe Caitlin will make it, but you never know.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't see his haircut coming. Did you guys?
No.
No.
That was as soon as he took his hat off. I was like, whoa. So very cool. Good to have him on. Hey, before we do wrap completely, I would like to congratulate one Mr. Marcus Goldman and his team, the MMR Rock and Rollers, for this amazing job that they did at the 50th Annual American Cancer Society Bike-a-thon, which took place this past Sunday.
Yeah.
Listen to this, man. They've raised, so far, $111,000.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
In the fight against cancer. And Marcus is the captain of that team. And Marcus busts his ass all year long to that event come off the way that it does. And I've forgotten how many people are on that team, Case. Do you happen to remember?
It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 or more.
And he started with like two.
Yeah.
You know, like that first year.
But he does every aspect of this. I mean, this is in his heart now.
Yeah. And he has, he's just, he walks the walk. So it's the ACS Bike-a-thon. And fundraising for the team ends August 31st. So they're still taking donations.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can help. You can just make a $10 donation if you want to the American Cancer Society. Just text the word HOPE to 20222. There's messaging and data rates that apply. But, we had some great sponsors along the way. So thank you to Tamman Incorporated. And also Wilson Secret Sauce
Barbecue. They're awesome.
Upper Darby, Steve Wilson, and company. So congratulations, Marcus. Huge, huge accomplishment. And thank you to all of the team members.
Yes. 190. I just got a text from Marcus. 190 guys.
190 people on the team?
That's more.
Jeez,
that's more than 150.
Wow. Way to go, Marcus. Yeah. Great work. And thank you guys all for being a part of that. All right. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Don't forget Tattoos Day taking place. We have a cool announcement to make at the end of the show today, too, that I want to make sure that you're with. It's not just the Letter of the Day Word of the Week. We've got something cool at the end of the program to pass along. So we'll take a break. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Grab the free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
Case, question.
Yes, sir.
This info that you handed me, when should I do that?
Let's do it after the Bizarre File.
Perfect. All right, so all right. I said we have an announcement at the end of the show. We have a last-second announcement at the end of the Bizarre File.
Ooh,
so we got these two things going on. You'll like this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer Lumber. Trusted expert since 1939, A.D. Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. And you can visit them on the web at admoyer.com. All right, listen to this guy. A daredevil father will sail 1,900 miles across the Atlantic Ocean in a tiny 3 foot, 3 inch long boat that he built himself as he attempts to break a world record. I saw a picture of this thing. I don't see how this guy's going to live.
Well, it's going to be great, too, because it can also double as a coffin.
Yeah, Andrew Bedwell from England. He's from, he will set off from Newfoundland, Canada.
That's the point of departure.
Next May, hopes to smash the record for sailing the smallest boat to cross the Atlantic. He compared the journeys to being, quote, stuck in a wheelie bin on a roller coaster for 90 days.
It's going to be good fun, don't you know?
His fiberglass boat, which is a half meter shorter and has a top speed of 2.5 miles. Miles per hour is a modified version of ship that another ex-record holder, Tom McNally, designed.
So another point about the end of next year when I'm defecated out the ass of a shark.
Listen to this. So during his expected 3-month crossing, he will survive off of a protein-rich substance that is molded around the internal walls of the cockpit to save space. Okay. His food is going to be molded.
He's eating his boat.
To the walls, and he's going to be eating part of his boat. Yeah. The thrill-seeking father of one admitted his wife thinks that he's, quote, crackers, but said that he...
She actually called him an a-hole.
...wanted to achieve something amazing before he turned 50.
So this has been done before?
Yeah, but he's doing this like a half meter shorter. So he said, all my life I've done unusual challenges, and it slowly got more and more important to myself to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
No.
Speaking about his purpose, built tiny boat, the Big C, he said, I think a space rocket would have more room. Andrew, who is Scarisbrick, Lancashire, delivers yachts around the world and also works as a sailmaker.
I had to go to my boss and ask, do you mind if I commit suicide?
He has spent most of his life embarking on nautical adventures. He previously sailed nonstop around Britain.
All right.
And has taken his small 6.5 carbon racing yacht across the Atlantic and up to the Arctic Circle.
I didn't realize this small boat thing was a thing.
I had no idea it was a thing. Nick found a picture of it. It's ridiculously tiny.
What's it powered by? Is it rowing it?
I don't know. It's 2.5, goes 2.5
Twin Evan
Rouge. No, I think it's...
Yeah, it's twin 100.
Two 900 horsepower.
Valid watch.
I don't know, but it only goes 2.5 miles per hour, so it's crazy.
That's great.
An arsenal of weapons, several small explosive devices, and thousands of rounds of ammunition were found in a house... that was the site of an explosion on Saturday, where an occupant had been under police scrutiny. The victim was in critical condition. The explosion started in the garage and spread to the house. The victim is a man in his 30s. He was taken to the Detroit Receiving Hospital with severe injuries, including the loss of both arms.
Mm.
So I think he was working on illegal explosives
in
his house.
I say so much more making my own...
Look. The man had an extensive criminal background involving weapons charges and manufacturing of explosive items and was under investigation prior to the explosion.
Any idiot can make a...
Police executed a search warrant Saturday and recovered a dozen firearms, including handguns and rifles, as well as loaded AR-style magazines and about 4,000 rounds of ammunition.
And one tiny boat.
The small explosive devices were found as well, and police believe an illegal operation was running out of the house. So,
in a way, it's good that these people take care of themselves.
Yeah, he got blowed up. A 46-year-old man brandishing a knife and lighter fluid threatened to blow up a downtown St. Louis White Castle restaurant on Wednesday morning. A detective investigating the incident said Luke Cody walked into the restaurant.
What's about with the square burgers?
11 a.m. and told employees and customers that in addition to blowing up the restaurant, he would also kill everyone inside. Cody then tried to barricade the restaurant's doors with chairs and began pouring lighter fluid on the floor, on the front counter and dining room table. Before he unsuccessfully tried to ignite both surfaces. At that point, Cody said that he was going to kill himself and started making cutting motions on his arm, prompting customers to flee the restaurant. It was right, then that well, they decided to leave. Not when right. he was pouring fluid all over the place and lighting it on fire. It's unclear if he injured himself. When officers arrived, Cody dropped the knife and was taken into police custody.
Can I just get some burgers?
And as a precaution, the bomb and arson unit responded to the scene and told the remaining employees and customers to leave the restaurant. They found a bottle of lighter fluid and a bottle of fuel additive and partially burned paper towels. So no explosive devices.
Back-to-back lunatic stories.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What else I have here for you? Let's see. This week, a brazen trio of reckless drivers caught a police chief's attention for performing burnouts in the dumbest possible place, which was right in front of the police station with security cameras dotting the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
The chief said, when this happened, I was in my office, I could hear the sounds, and so were some of the other members of the department. I literally looked out my window and saw these kids doing burnouts right in front of the police station.
Whee! That's what I get to do!
I'm not that, though.
There's video of it, too. So the chief...
Guess what I get to do?
Bolted outside and grabbed the offender's license plate numbers and saw passengers hanging out of the window, taunting him and anyone else within range.
Yeah.
The police, okay? Right.
They're not going to have security cameras.
Officers quickly tracked down and arrested three people associated with the incident, then impounded all three vehicles. Two of those were forfeited to the police. So there you go. Hope you got your jollies there, my friend. All right, and let's see. Oh, what movie does this make you think of? This is our last story in the file. A Friday morning crash in Huntingdon County, Pennsylvania, ended with one person having to be rescued after a manure truck rolled over in Huntingdon County.
Back to the Future?
Yep. Crews were called to the scene of a vehicle crash at 8:42 a.m. After arriving, 18 minutes later, they found a manure truck rolled over in a field with a person trapped. The truck was lifted off the person, and they were freed. And they reportedly had non-life-threatening injuries. But, yeah, that's immediately I thought.
Of course, yeah.
Back to the Future when I saw that. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarro file for you. All right, so last-second announcement to make. Excited about this. And I love the name of this show. So this show is going to be Saturday, October 22nd. It's at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. And we are very happy to announce it. Tom Segura!
Yay!
Will be performing.
That's great.
And he is going to be performing in his I'm Coming Everywhere World Tour. Saturday, October 22nd. And like I said, it's at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Atlantic City. I'm Coming Everywhere World Tour with Tom Segura. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Details at WMMR.com. But if you're caller number 12, you get a pair of tickets for free right now. So 215-263-WMMR if you want to go to the I'm Coming Everywhere World Tour with Tom Segura in Atlantic City at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Saturday, October 22nd.
We got to get him back on the show.
Yes, yeah, we do. All right. So with that, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Lesson, question, trash, and music news are on the way. And then we have an announcement to make at the end of the show. So stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. It's fancy. No, it's not fancy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I just realized I had your microphone on the whole time, Nick, during that song, so just letting you know.
I was singing along in my head. From my commercial?
Yeah. Okay. So let's check text messages, see if anybody heard anything interesting. No, I think we're good. I think
all
we're good.
All right, sweet. But I didn't say anything stupid.
I revealed something about the announcement that we have coming up at the end of the show out loud. And I look over, I'm like, Nick's microphone is still on. Fortunately, it's the other side of the room. So
hey, look at that.
There you go.
How about that?
Okay.
It's all planned.
Don't worry about it. I almost said something that I'm glad I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't, too.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. All right. You never know. That's why you should always tune in to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You never know what exactly is going to transpire on this program.
We should have random active mic Wednesdays.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Start tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll have Rodney turn the lights off so you guys won't know whose microphone is on. And only I will be aware that there is a random microphone on in the studio. All right, somebody texted and said, I knew I heard lip smacking somewhere.
Yeah. You've definitely heard that.
So we're going to do today's lesson question. We're going to give away a float experience from Halcyon Floats. And it's a great Father's Day gift. So the question, and of course I moved my damn questions all the way over here, and let me pull them back out because I did have a really good one here that Nick wrote down. Okay, snore stop nasal spray might cause what to explode?
Okay.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. So, snore stop nasal spray might cause what to explode? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now, and we'll do this while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Rita's Water Ice. You can get your Rita's and get there. Grab a five-layer gelati. Back for a limited time only. The Rita's five-layer gelati is more ice, more custard, and more yum. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Kate Hudson and her fiancé, Danny Fujikawa, ran into First Lady Jill Biden while going out to eat on Friday night. Apparently, Hudson turned around and saw the First Lady behind her as they stood in line at Cornhub. The quote-unquote celebrity boxing match between Black China and fitness influencer Alicia Magan ended in a draw on Saturday night. Many in attendance said the better bout was the undercard fight between Chuck Wepner and Jerry Jewell from The Facts of Life.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Britney Spears' ex Jason Alexander has been hit with a 3-year restraining order and $100,000 bail after crashing Spears' wedding last week. In his defense, the not-too-bright Alexander told the judge that he found a stick that looks like the letter W.
That's all your time. All right, we are looking for an answer to this question, which is snore stop nasal spray might cause what to explode? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And we will go to Bill, see if we can get the answer. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Preston. How are you?
Good, Bill. All right, so if you use snore stop nasal spray, what might explode?
Your scrotum.
That is correct. Yep, hang on, Bill. Your correct answer just got you a float experience from Halcyon Floats. And you can give Dad the ultimate gift of relaxation this Father's Day with a float from Halcyon Floats. And it's Philadelphia's premier float center. Relax, recover, reset. HalcyonFloats.com.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
It is brought to you by Jersey Mike's. And Jersey Mike's new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub tastes as good as it sounds because fresh ingredients make a sub above. I just have a handful of things today, and that's it. We'll start with this. Rolling Stones forced to pull out of their Amsterdam stadium shows last night, only hours before hitting the stage because Mick Jagger tested positive for COVID.
More tummy hurts. There's too much Tulu in my underpants.
There's been no word whether the band's next show is set for Thursday, June 17th in Bern, Switzerland. Has also been scrapped. Mick said in a statement, I'm so sorry that we had to postpone the Amsterdam show with such short notice tonight. I have unfortunately tested positive for COVID. We aim to reschedule the date ASAP and get back as soon as we can. Thank you all for your patience and your understanding.
He's in good shape. He takes care of himself.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's an outstanding shape.
Yeah.
I went to Bern one time in Switzerland, and I smoked hash there. It was the first
really?
Time, first, the only time I ever smoked hash. Yeah. And I was high for like 4 days.
Listen, if you're in a place called Bern,
you
gotta burn.
We were staying with a guy whose nickname was Bird, as in always as high as a.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I needed like 5 days to hike into the mountains.
Yeah, smokes his neck. You called it hiker. Yeah.
And he was Swiss?
No, he was an American guy who got a job with Swiss Telecom. And he had one of those elevators where it was like one person could fit in the elevator.
Oh,
go up and down. Yeah.
In his house?
In his apartment building.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he hates them.
You guys, if you want to email me, I'll tell you more Bern stories.
Yeah. On
Bern Notice, your favorite show.
On June 11th, Wolfgang Van Halen posted a message to fans on social media thanking them and reflecting on the one-year anniversary of the Mammoth WVH self-titled debut album. He wrote, today marks the one-year anniversary for the first album. Releasing this music was such a huge thing for me in so many different ways. It was exciting, emotional, bittersweet, a relief. It was a culmination of years of work, trial and error, loss, self-doubt, and anxiety. And it was a long road that led me to figuring out who I was as my own person and artist. I discovered who I was through the process and arrived at something I could truly be proud of. And it began a new chapter in my life that I'm not sure I was even ready for, but I jumped in anyway. And I knew it was the right thing to do because it was what Pop wanted.
Damn right.
I just wish that I could have shared the whole experience with him. And I know he'd be so proud. I know he'd be proud and so effing stoked with how everything has gone thus far. I'm blown away with what Mammoth has accomplished this past year, and I'm incredibly grateful. None of this would have happened without the amazing support from all of you. So with all my heart, I've just got to say thank you. And he wrote, P.S. I'll be heading into the studio in a few months to start working on the second album, and I couldn't be more excited. I promise to not take as long as I did with the first one. This kid's got a future ahead of him.
Oh, absolutely.
That album is great.
It is.
I mean, I've only heard, you know, like four songs off of it, but
that's enough.
It's enough to know that he's the real deal. And he played all the instruments on it. The kid is fantastic. Let's see. Yeah, I have that here, Casey. Okay. So, big congratulations is the last item in music news. MMR is had a promotion for a giveaway for this show of Metallica in Pittsburgh, August 14th at PNC Park. We want to thanks to everyone that entered. We have about 1,200 people who got in, and congrats to MMR VIP Ron Blackwell.
Yay!
From Pottstown, Pennsylvania. He is the winner for the Metallica road trip.
That's excellent.
Two tickets to the concert, including a pre-show blackened whiskey tasting at the venue hosted by master distiller Rob Dietrich.
That's cool.
A hotel room for the night and a $200 gas card. And tickets for the show in Pittsburgh are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. So congratulations to you. That's how we do it. We give it away.
Do you want something else for music news?
Yeah, sure.
There's the audio clip of the Winklevoss twins of Facebook fame. They have a band. You know the twins as depicted in the movie? Yeah. Armie Hammer played them both?
No.
Yeah, okay.
What movie?
The Social Network.
Yeah.
They're the ones who, they're the ones who actually invented Facebook.
Okay.
And then Mark Zuckerberg kind of like stole the idea.
Well, they
made it better.
They become sort of a celebrated issue on social media. Funny, because they have a band that is so horrible that it's getting a lot of traction because of its horribleness.
Okay.
And they do a lot of covers, and apparently there are a couple of originals, but if you want to hear them and hear why everyone is so fascinated with this band, we have a clip.
All right, here we go.
Nowhere, Journey, right?
This was them. That's not Journey.
This is them recently performing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
a big hit.
And were they at a bar or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, some sort of venue. They're really actually legitimately trying to get traction. And and you hear more. I wouldn't put you through too much of it. But it's staggeringly bad.
Oh, so they don't know.
They have no clue.
They can't tell
right.
that they're bad.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But this is what they figure is chapter two.
Wow.
After missing out on Facebook.
I guess so. What do they do now? Did they find any?
They've got a lot of money. Yeah.
But, I saw an interview where they were... One of their next ventures, and I'm not making this up, was to mine precious metals from asteroids. And so they want to go into space with mining equipment and bring that type of equipment down to Earth.
That sounds like Don't Look Up.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Okay.
And this is a venture that they, because there are only finite number of resources on this planet, they are looking to space as another way to bring precious metals
interesting
to our planet.
Yeah, and viruses from other
sure.
planets.
Yeah,
yeah. I never saw a Social Network, so I don't know the story behind
it. It's actually
Facebook,
a pretty good
honest.
Movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's a...
Yeah, I heard it was great.
Aaron Sorkin wrote it.
Never got around to seeing it. Wow. Well, I have a less fascinating story, but one I thought that Casey would find interesting.
Oh.
A guy reached out to Marissa, and Casey's hash brown salad has been created.
Oh!
Chad, the chef at Salome's restaurant at Berks and Girard Avenue in Fishtown, had reached out on Instagram yesterday asking if Casey was serious about the hash brown salad.
Yes. Yeah. Serious as a heart attack.
And he has created crazy concoctions in the past, like a scrapple wrapped soft boiled egg.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like that could work. So he wanted to give this a try. That kind of sounds almost like a Scotch egg.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what a Scotch egg is, but...
Where's the heart? It's a hard-boiled egg that's wrapped in sausage, breaded, and then deep-fried.
Oh.
And you can get those at places like the Renaissance Fair.
Right.
That's Scotch eggs.
That's right. Try this.
And actually, they're good.
On size.
So he said, apparently this morning he posted a photo of hash brown salad with a mini American flag stuck in it. And the review is it's good with a nice crunchy texture.
I want to see this picture.
Unfortunately, I'll show it to you. I have it right here.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
Why is it not here in the studio?
I do not know. I don't know what's in it either. I see some. It looks like there's some tomato in there maybe. But anyhow, he says, excuse me. Unfortunately, the restaurant isn't prepped to serve it today. But you can follow them on Instagram to see if it becomes a special soon.
I just asking because of the legend, but is that a little bit of ranch dressing there that I say? Is that, or what is that on?
That's got to be a mayonnaise base or something.
Okay.
I don't know. But maybe in honor of you.
Yeah.
It's ranch dressing.
What's the name of the restaurant again?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct or not. Salome's. S-U-L-I-M-A-Y. Salome's. Anyhow, they're Salome's restaurant, and they're located at Berks and Girard.
Interesting.
So we can check their Instagram stories.
You had drinks named after you last week.
Yeah.
Now you're getting a hash brown dish named after you.
What? Well, I don't know if it's named after him. Oh. It's in honor of him.
All right, so all proceeds are going to go to you.
Yeah, yes. But maybe they'll name it the KC hash brown. Well, it does say KC's hash brown salad, so I don't know if they're going to name it that or not, but they could certainly try it.
Huh. I gotta try it.
By the way, when restaurants have specials, and I'm killing just a little bit of time here.
Yeah.
If restaurants have specials, how does that eventually make it onto the full-time menu? Because there are some places that have had specials. I'm like, this is better than some of the stuff you have on the menu. You need to put this on the
menu.
You
can ask the queen of that sitting right next to me here is at the Guppies. Don't you have a chicken sandwich? That is.
So how did my special become a permanent
locked
feature
on the menu?
Because so many people ordered it. And so he was like, I'm putting it on the menu. I sort of created it because half the stuff I can't eat when I go to a restaurant. And so I was like, hey, can you just throw like this?
Right.
And so he put it together as a wrap for me. The chef in the back was like, yeah, I'll put something together you can have. And then they said, oh, we'll do a special. So he has like a chalkboard. He wrote it up on the special. And he said so many people ordered it and like loved it. It was a great sandwich that he just put it on the menu.
Okay. We had our anniversary dinner the other night. We went to this restaurant we love to go to. It's called Uka. It's in North Wales. And they had a special. It was this pork belly special. Pork belly. In this Asian bun type of thing with kimchi. And I'm telling you, I was just like, I was like the clip from What About Bob. I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, this is so scrumptious. You know,
this is better than Porky Pine.
They need to put that on the regular menu.
Porky Pine.
I demand that you put this on the regular menu. It was so damn good.
Do you know there's, like, everyone goes through phases where you have that one thing that you love so much and it's all you can think about and that you end up going back to the same place because you love it so much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you go back for your chicken sandwich or have you moved on?
I genuinely love it. Like, I created it, so yes.
We go to this restaurant up on the hill up here called La Colina. We go there, like... Yeah. Once every other year.
So for business meetings, usually.
When the higher-ups come into town, they always take us to La Colina, I think because it's close by and the food is good. And I never deviate from what I get
there. What do you get?
I get their sole.
Their
Dover sole, which has been a special, okay? Yeah. A special and not on the menu for 30 years. And why don't you just put it on the menu, but it's actually the special. And I can't not get it. It's like I don't think I've ever had anything else but that there. It's so damn good.
Yeah.
But that's the way they are sometimes. Marissa just brought this.
scrumptious.
By the word scrumptious is pretty awesome.
Great word.
Only used when it's necessary, though. You can't just throw that word around.
Faye, this is so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
And so Casey's hash brown salad says dressing, mayo, ground mustard, and vinegar. It just says what kind of dressing?
That is the dressing. The mayo,
the dressing is mayo, ground mustard, and vinegar.
It's not ranch dressing.
But they said don't come in and order it. Like, they're just testing it out.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh, my God.
Breaking news. This is it. We go down to the News Bureau of WMMR, where reporter Preston Elliott has just received possession of a story guaranteed to be on everybody's minds for the next week.
Steve, I can barely hear you because of
the sound of gunfire.
All the excitement around me.
We put Preston in Ukraine for this report for some reason.
I'll do my best to speak over the...
Preston, how are those chariot races going?
Okay. No, La Colina was sold. They have new owners.
What?
That's what Marissa...
Is it still called La Colina?
I don't know. I do not know.
It's called Glen Colina.
Oh, my God.
That was a radio show? Yeah. I was hoping for a Glen Colina joke. And you delivered, Steve. That made my morning. Why doesn't that guy endorse that place?
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe they'll put the Dover sole on. Well, they better not get rid of it. That's one thing they better
not do. Sons of bitches.
So,
I want to know where they keep the heart that they put up every year for Valentine's Day at the Colina's restaurant. When you're going on next... Well, let's see if they keep it.
We go now to our news bureau, Preston Elliott on the scene, with word about the heart at Glen Colina's restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Steve, thank you. At this time, reports are vague and hearsay. We now go to our second field reporter, Nick McElwain, on scene to give us the latest. Nick, what do you know?
When you're driving westbound on the Schuylkill Expressway, Preston, make sure to look to your left. You'll be able to see the heart every year around Valentine's Day.
Wait a second, Nick. We're going now live to the gladiator battle taking place.
Are you not entertained?
This is Bank Park.
Right. I just don't know if new ownership is going to maintain the tradition, because every year it's there, and I hope they bring it back.
That's one of those like places that needs... By the way, I've gone there. I think I've gone there for a Valentine dinner, and it's old style, only waiters.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to change it up, though.
So they sold the building, the business, and the liquor license to the new owner. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, to the new owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's going to be a brick-and-mortar site for Cornhub.
Baby. All right, anyhow, enough chat.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break and come back in a second. So if things time out properly, get ready.
Does Bill need us to stop talking?
Cool. He needs us to stop talking now.
I need you to stop talking. Santa's got to go.
I don't think I'll ever get tired of those two clips. So we'll come back in a moment. We'll get ready to wrap up the program, get the Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. And it's a very cool announcement. And we'll also get our winner for Tat Tuesday. So we will return in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The Preston and Steve radio program coming to a close for the day. We are inching our way through the work week. We have an event tomorrow night. We'll do some giveaways tomorrow, the last of them, for the Preston and Steve sorority party. You know what, though? Although I did say we were going to give away a little bit today, we only have a handful. I should give away one now.
Do it!
So we'll take caller number 11, and if you are of the female persuasion and would like to join our sorority, we'll take caller number 11, 215-263-WMMR. The event is tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Liberty Bell Beer Garden in Parks Casino in Bensalem. And you have to be at least 21 years of age, and we're going to be square dancing. Yes,
yeah.
We're going to be square dancing with the Federation of Delaware Valley Square and Round Dancers.
The OGs.
And they're going to teach you how. They're going to teach all of us how to do it. So we'll do that. Yep. You singing Rawhide?
Bonanza.
That was it. Nice. Hey, real quick, I want to thank Glenn Howerton for being on. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The gang is going to be here on Friday. No, I'm sorry. It is a Sunday. September 18th at the Met, and tickets are on sale this Friday, Ticketmaster.com, or go to WMMR.com. If you're an MMR VIP, you could possibly win some tickets. So make sure you take a look at that. And let's take care of some other... We have an announcement to make, but I want to save that for the M. So let's take care of some housekeeping here. Can we do the letter of the day first?
We can.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
A as in articulate.
All right, and we have two letters. We are looking for five, and we're going to give away dinner for 10 at Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse. Celebrate the graduate in your life with 15 different cuts of meat and fish served right at your table. And a gourmet salad bar, and it is a perfect place for your graduation celebration. Private rooms available for parties of 16 or more. Info at reservations at nebraza.com. Casey, let's do this now, too. Let's give away our Tattoos Day, if you would, please. So thank you to everyone who had texted in. We can only have one winner, and that one winner is... Oh, man, let me try this. It's Colleen Notariani.
Hey!
Notariani, I think.
Hey!
All right, from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Colleen gets $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And don't forget, they're at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. For artwork samples, visit floatingworldtattoos.com. Or you can check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos as well. Pierre Robert, as you heard his voice, is indeed here. And we have a special announcement to make.
We do?
We do.
We do.
You're not aware of this?
Oh, I am.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, just want to make sure. Dare I say, it could be breaking news for all we know.
Oh, wait,
I mean, it's an announcement, but it is breaking news for those of us.
Breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Yes.
Breaking news. Do.
We are excited to announce something about our own Pierre Robert. He is now nominated to be inducted into the 2022 Radio National Hall of Fame. So that, like we found out last year, you are nominated, there is voting, and you, sir, could be in the hallowed halls of the Radio Hall of Fame.
Or on Skid Row.
Or yes. One or the other.
And I have been to both. I can reside comfortably in either location. This is not voted in. You know it better than I do.
You have been nominated
right.
to be inducted. Okay. So there is a voting process that takes place. So they've announced that there are 24 nominees. They were determined by the Radio Hall of Fame nominating committee with input from the radio industry and listeners. And voting for inductees will begin on Tuesday, June 22nd, and will run through July 8th. The top six vote recipients will gain induction as part of the 2022 Radio Hall of Fame induction class. And the two additional inductees that will make up the eight-person induction class will be selected by the Radio Hall of Fame nominating committee. So I don't know how exactly all this is going to work, but I think this is an industry vote that is going to be taking place.
Because I believe last year when you guys got in, people, regular listeners and people in
could
the
vote.
General population could, so somewhat like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has
it's a percentage of the consideration in the vote.
The fan vote or whatever. That is not present this year.
So really?
It's just the people who are a member of this. I don't know, not academy or industry or who. I assume there's an organization, like, for example, you can be a member and a voting member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you do get to vote on the class every year.
Now,
so I assume there's an industry, there's a membership of the Radio Hall of Fame.
Similar to the fact that you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Similar to that. I'm wondering if we, as now inductees...
Can be thrown out?
Are allowed to vote.
Thrown out.
So we'll have to find out about that. There's more than 600 industry members that will receive a confidential ballot. They'll cast the votes for up to six nominated individuals. The confidential ballot will be conducted by VoteM.com and overseen by Miller Kaplan's Andrew Rosen. The inductees will be announced Monday, July 25th, and honored in person at the 2022 Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Chicago on Tuesday, November 1st.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm voting for Pierre.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. No.
No, I will be really nice to you. I could wash your cars.
I knew this was coming because
it has to be.
While we were there at the induction ceremonies, I was number one. I was kind of championing you and saying how we got in before Pierre. I'll never know.
It's not a disgrace. Oh. Not at all.
So I was talking to one of the board members, and he's like, I'm making it a mission to get Pierre Robert into the Radio Hall of Fame.
You are so, well on their radar.
Come hell or high water, you will be in there.
That's very kind of you.
You will be inducted into it. And it's like one of those things in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where you hear some of these names and why haven't they been in? And I'm convinced, yes, they're going to get it.
Listen, there are so many accomplished people with so many wonderful careers, but they're scum next to you.
Yes.
You're too kind, both of you. I owe it to Nick and Kathy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Of course you do.
Do you think we could buy some votes? Like, maybe we could be able to bribe some people?
That's cheating.
No. Like,
If I get in, I get in fair and square.
Oh, all right.
Or if I don't, I don't.
Gotcha.
And I'm happy with either. I mean, I feel like you said about me, I feel that way about, like, Jerry Blavitt. Maybe he's already in there. I don't know.
I don't think he is mentioned.
But I mean, I think of the Geeter. I think the Geeter should be in there before I am. You know, he's 81.
Sid Mark is.
He is. Yes. Oh, good.
I believe so.
Okay.
If I recall,
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
One of the two.
Yeah.
I think Nick was indicating that in order to get in, we're going to have to buy you votes.
That may be.
Let's do a Kickstarter now or something like that, or GoFundMe.
Is there a John St. John in there?
John St. John? I'm not sure.
Well, because, remember...
We can look up that. I don't
know if there even is a John St. John, but a lot of radio DJs, do you remember when we kids had the last name of St. John?
Oh, yeah.
And it couldn't be a real... Maybe it is a real name.
And there was a stretch where there were a lot of Hollywoods, too, like Hollywood Hamilton and Hollywood Harry and...
Hollywood Pete.
Yeah.
That's me.
A lot of people don't know that St. John himself originated the morning zoo.
Oh, I did not know that. No
St.
wonder.
St. John the Apostle?
Yeah.
Wow.
St. John de Dibella.
St. John the Dibella.
You know, it's a wonderful thing, and it's we were blown away by the honor. But you have obviously every no one said right. You would never say that, but you should be in, and it would be wonderful if this could be the case back to back. And stop and think about the station here with all the talented people. It's, you know, there's many, many soon to end up in that hole.
Right.
Maybe you'll end up, maybe if you make a guarantee that you won't repeat your Walk of Fame speech.
You weren't even there.
I know, but I heard about it.
You weren't even there.
I heard about your half-hour-long speech.
Goddamn half-hour-long. So if I hadn't thanked everybody, including every one of you, by the way, yeah. from that stage.
Except for Jason.
You forgot Jason. Oh, he forgot Jason.
He forgot Jason.
I had handwritten the thing. And, you know, and I and my writing, I don't often can't read my own writing. And I had looked up for a moment and then looked down and I skipped that part and was on to the next part.
I was sitting in the audience and you mentioned me, which was kind, and Michael Tom, Michael Anthony Thompson and Pancake. And then I was like, and I turned to Pancake and was like, oh, my God, he forgot Jason. And I know that it's nagged you ever since.
I mean, as soon as you, I didn't even know it till you told me the next day on the air. And then I immediately went out and before even, I mean, they Pancake started music and I called him. And I go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Was he there?
Yeah. Well, I called him at home.
No,
I mean,
he
was there, yes. Of course, I invited him to be there.
Oh, he's crying in the corner.
Yeah, he's going, a-hole, a-hole, you know. And, you know, and I don't. You know, anyone that's had the displeasure of working for me has been scarred in all kinds of ways. And poor Nick was in therapy and I think still is. Pancake is starting electroshock therapy next week for the anxiety that I regularly cause to him. So the idea that I, you know, Jason was this really important part. And I was just mortified. There was a couple of other. I skipped a whole little thing. Bob Beru of Beru Review was there. You know, a couple of very special people to me were there, and I skipped that little paragraph of my own miserable handwriting and went to the next part, you know, and because most of my thing was just mentioning people that I thought were cool.
It's the last thing you want to do.
And then it tended to go on, and then the late Randy Alexander at one point stood in front of the podium with his hands folded and go, I go, oh dear.
Yeah, that's when you know.
When you get into the Radio Hall of Fame, thank Jason first.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there you go.
And no one will know who he is,
right.
But I'll go, Jason Phaon.
There we go.
This bud's for you.
All right, well, Pierre officially on the list of nominees. For the Radio Hall of Fame, which is fantastic.
Congratulations.
Very happy for you, and I'm sure we'll see this come through. So the voting starts June 22nd and goes through the first week of July, and then July 25th will be announced who gets in. So we're looking forward to that, man.
Was it overwhelming for you guys when you were there? Were you a little overwhelmed by it? What was your vibe when you were...
A little nervous, to be honest, because we're in front of industry people, right. And some people I have read about and heard about, and so I was a little nervous about my speech in particular. And I had a speech written, and I decided right before then to just can it and go up and just rattle off whatever came to off the top of my head. And I wasn't too happy with my speech, but anyhow. It was a little overwhelming in that. Wow, I can't believe all this fuss is being made over us. You know,
right.
So, but it was really cool. It was really awesome, especially going to the museum and looking at the other people that were, you know, inducted into the Hall of Fame. It was really overwhelming.
We actually had Pierre because they were not able to do the prior year's recipients because of COVID. We had them there as well.
Okay, cool.
So there was a large class, basically, of 2 years, and that was kind of interesting because there were people there that I was, you know, I love you, and I was able to say that to them, you know. And again, as with anything like this, I'm sure you feel the same way. It's like, should we be here? Is this real? But it was an honor nonetheless.
Overwhelmed because you're so cool and collected, Steve?
I wasn't overwhelmed. I was impressed. I have to say at how it hit me last second, and I'd written down a speech that I went through, and you know, and it worked out well. So, by the end of it, you know, no matter, it's like when you talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and people who say, oh, it doesn't mean that much. When you're there and you're getting that accolade from people in the industry, it is kind of nice, and it does mean something. And you know, just for you to tell other people that you've admired, hey, you know, it's an honor meeting you or whatever, that evening is very special.
We had a couple of years ago in Washington, there was that award that we get, that big, that we've gotten a lot of times.
The
Marconi Award.
it was Marconi or Billboard Awards or something, and I was in D.C., and I was nominated for Best DJ. The station was nominated for Best, and it was our previous company. So Peter Smyth, the CEO of Greater Media, and all the bigwigs were there. And so I get there, and I'm at the table, and you didn't know. There was, you know, okay. five people, and they
read
the nominees.
Or the NAB Awards, maybe.
NAB, right. yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. yeah, that was it. National yep. Association of Broadcasters, a prestigious award. Mm-hmm. And they, it was just this little micro moment, but I got a tiny segment of an idea of what it's like to lose like an Academy Award. And the cameras are on all five nominees, and the four, quote, losers always smile and applaud.
Right, right, right.
And when I did not win it, I was really, no, that
it stung you. Yeah.
Rip off! And I,
this is bull crap!
You know, when I was a legendary broadcaster from San Francisco, and you know, and I actually am very happy for him, and he won it, and then the station
Pierre goes up and smacks him in the face.
I knocked him out. I took the mine, mother effer,
bitch.
Keep your name out my mouth.
Then you know the last thing was Station of the Year, and MMR won it, and Bill goes jumping up there to grab it, and I'm going, damn, and then we. We all went.
Man,
you know,
can you believe that Pierre lost?
He goes, Santa's got to go. And you know, it's, and then we all went out, and I said, "Double martini, please." But I got just a little microcosm of the vibe of the of being nominated at any of those award shows, and the cameras are always on all five or six nominees, and only one wins. And the others happily applaud or smile or do that thing. And I did that act, and I'm like, oh, this is fun.
Right.
And I was like miserable the rest of the night.
No.
But you know what? It's not.
Nursing my martini going, hey.
Well, this won't be one of those.
I used to be on the radio.
You'll know ahead of time. So this is
ridiculous.
I'm going down to the White House. Let me in. I need to talk to the big guy.
Well, I hope you get it because also Chicago is just a great town to be in. Yeah. So we had a really great time while we were there.
Cool. All right. On the show today,
yes,
should
sir.
I tell you that?
Yes, sir.
We've got tickets for Poison, Joan Jett, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, June 25th. Coming up quick, we've got Boston, we've got Weezer, and yes, in a workforce block, and it's Double Shot Tuesday.
Wonderful. It's going to be a great day. I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. And also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow morning, a Wednesday secret text word, Fox Good Day, and some other goodies. And tomorrow night, our sorority party. So
yes.
The last of those invites. That's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the bop bop two bop bop ba doo ga bop ba dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.